Start this. Okay.
I'll mute while you...
Yeah, you can mute if you want, or I'll just say hello. Hello, everybody. It is Sunday, January 30th, 2022. It's 15:03 Eastern Standard Time. I'm doing this show early because, well, it's Sunday and I'm usually home. It's my day off. And if I start the show early, it's because I'm most likely trying to connect with a European, since they are at least 5 hours behind, or ahead, rather. And I think it's only right that I don't make them stay up until the wee hours of the next day. And that's why I'm starting early. Now, I'm sure most of my usual audience, because I'm normally here from Sunday to Thursday at 8 p.m., I'm sure most of my usual audience is having fun in the snow if they're in Canada, or at the beach if they're somewhere in South America or in, around the equator. But I normally do the show Sunday to Thursday. And to check the show schedule, it's fakeologist.com/live. And that's where I put the show schedule, including if I decide that I can't make it for the evening, I will put no show tonight. That way you don't waste your time looking around. So fakeologist.com/live. That has all the links to all the channels, because we're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, Twitch, DLive, and of course the world famous fakeotube.com. That's my site, fakeotube.com. I am the curator of that content. However, I'm not responsible for the content because I don't do any of it. It's just reposting of other fantastic work that I think is worth republishing and saving, just in case some of the big boys decide that they don't like the content on their site and just delete it. And that prevents my site, fakeologist.com/blog, from looking like Swiss cheese. And there's nothing worse than a website with dead links abound. So that's why I've decided to make that investment in FakeoTube. It gets about... I guess it gets about a couple thousand hits a day. And let me just take a peek at it now. Looks like I have 4 live listeners on FakeoTube. And, of course, now when I bring up the site, it's not showing the total. Where is the total? Is the total somewhere on here? Mae I blew the totals away. Maybe the little code I was using is gone because I upgraded the site. So maybe it stopped counting. Oh, I see what's happening. It doesn't know that I'm logged in, so just let me log in, because we do, it is exciting how many people I have on the site. But anyway, fakeologist.com/blog is my site, and fakeotube.com is my video site. Yeah, I can't see the counter tonight. I know it's there somewhere, unless I blew it away, which means it stopped counting how many people have hit the site. But suffice it to say, it's well over 1 million in the last year, which is pretty cool. All right, without further ado, I'm going to bring on my special guest, because he has so much to say. If I just blab on and on and on, that we're just going to miss out on what he has to say. And he's one of the leading video producers that I like to follow. He makes incredible videos. The guy has an incredible manly voice, and he just sounds like a very intelligent person. So Northern Tracy, who is, of course, one of our favorite guests here, and I think she's in the studio or in the audience right now, she recommended Space Busters to come to the show because she has a connection with him on maybe Facebook. So I've been following up on many of Northern Tracy's recommendations because she is so on point with all her research. She's probably one of Fakeologist's favorite virus researchers. And since that's the only topic in town today, yesterday, for the last 2 years, and probably for the next 10 years, then I go with what's best and what she's recommending. Without further ado, Steve from Space Busters. Hello, Steve.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Bob. Appreciate it. You want my manly voice? I can go deeper.
Okay.
All rights reserved. We reserve all rights.
Actually, Bob is my, I go by a million pseudonyms. Oh. Bob is my Facebook name because the Fakeologist name was blown away. And I couldn't log in, so I figured I'm not going to waste too much technical time putting my name in. So I just picked up, I just made Bob Bonner up, but my actual.
Oh, excellent. What should I call
my
you?
My mother called me Tim, but I started off as Aberrado. Ab. that's angry man in Latin. You probably know that. And I thought it'd be cool to have a Latin name when I created a pseudonym about 15 years ago. And I just stopped at A. Like, I didn't get past A, so I just picked Aberrado. But then then I decided to describe what I do, and that's look into media fakery. So then I said, I need one single word as a domain. So I just picked fakeologist, which most people can spell on the first try. And that way, a one-word domain I thought was powerful. And so I chose fakeologist. So you can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late for dinner, which is in a couple hours. Yeah, FACO, fakeologist, Ab, Tim. That's enough choice. You can call me Bob. I'll answer to Bob.
No, I can see Tracy's in the chat. We're actually really good friends, and we work together on a children's book and a video called, we did a story called The Dukes of Dents. She's an amazing illustrator. And we've got a larger, we're trying to shop a children's book of stories that I wrote for kids, not woke, but awake.
Yeah.
And, we'd like to get a publishing deal, and then hopefully she'll be doing the illustrations. I'll be doing the writing, and I don't know, maybe we'll make more videos as well.
That's great. Now, we're doing the show because, as I said, you're in Europe. So tell us, you sound like an American from a southern state, but you're actually in Copenhagen, Denmark, I think.
Yeah, that's right. I'm actually from Chicago, actually. I'm not from the south, but I don't sound like this anymore because I've lived overseas so long. But I lived in London many years, and I've been gone since 1998. I've been over here between Copenhagen and London. So,
any reason why you left the great United States? Supposed to be the greatest country in the world. So why would you leave that? I can tell you got a sense of humor. I think half the show is going to be you laughing.
I mean, it was great when I left. You know, I left 24 years ago now, but. No, I can't. I'm a musician as well and a music teacher. So,
oh, neat.
It's a long story, but I came over here to play music with a band, and
what
then
do you
I
play?
Ended up married and moving around. I sing and songwrite and play guitar and piano and ukulele and banjo and everything.
Nice. And you married a Danish woman?
Yeah, I'm divorced now.
Okay, but it was
Thank
good at the beginning.
It, I've got a kid here as well, and
okay.
So anyway, I came for music and was married for 16 years, and I'm still here now and raising my son with my ex. And now I'm a music teacher at two schools.
Nice.
And I travel around on the weekends with my band and solo playing in these big Irish pubs. So
okay.
And on the rest of the time, I have Space Busters with my best Nate Ross, who's English.
Oh, nice.
Why? He's the other guy you hear with the English accent. People get confused as to why we.
He's in the videos as well, because I don't think I've ever heard his voice.
Well, I do all the medical films, and then he does a lot of the other Tartarian, and a NASA fanboy series, and then some of the films we do together. So, I'm the medical guy. He does some ether and Tartaria, and then we do the songs together. And we kind of take turns. We help each other with the films.
Oh, great. How did you get into why are you Spacebusters, or why are you Spacebusters, first of all?
Well, I mean, actually, Ross made the channel, and he made a YouTube channel. I wasn't really into it, and he made this. His first video was called Nobody Owns the Air, and it went viral. It's not PewDiePie viral, but it got something like 350,000 views. It was the jet fuel hoax. I've seen, it's around in all different languages, and people steal it and don't put our name on it, but that was his film.
Nobody Owns the Air. Okay. I've never heard of it.
Nobody Owns the Air. It's our very first YouTube video. So he just chose Spacebusters, and then we started making smaller films, and then a big, big channel, a flat earth channel called Globebusters, Bob and Cammie Nodell, they got in touch with us because we had similar logos and similar names. And then I thought, well, hell, man, Ross is we got advertising right away because that video there, got so many hits. That's our BitChute. The YouTube one got 350,000 on our YouTube channel. So I thought, well, shit, I'm going to make some films too as well. And then we became friends with Glowbusters, and they really promoted us. Bob really fell in love with our work, and we've been guests on Glowbusters, I don't know, maybe 5, 6, 7 times. So they sort of helped us get popular, I guess you could say. They helped us grow the channel. Yeah, and then so we just started making more and more. And then I was getting more into Atlantis and the ether, and I was doing comets, cataclysms, coincidence. I was doing stuff on the grand solar minimums and these resets and the mud floods. And then the Rona bullshit happened. So I ended up coming over and doing all these virology films because I'm from the medical industry myself, so I understand it.
Okay.
That's kind of where we started even getting really big, you know, was doing these films. I mean, funny enough, when we were kind of nobodies, you probably know Dr. Andrew Kaufman, my friend, yeah. Andy.
Wow,
he got in touch with me out of the blue, and he said, "Are you Steve from Space Busters?" And I thought, like, what? I think it's on Facebook. And I said, "Yeah, how the hell do you know who I am?" Yeah. And he said, "Oh, I'm a huge fan of your channel, and I wrote a movie, and I'd like you to make a movie with me." And I said, yeah. So Andy and I made this movie called Hippocratic Hypocrisy, I think about 2 years. It had to be 2020.
Okay.
So he wrote it, the outline, and he said, "This is what it's about." And then I kind of had artistic liberty. Mm-hmm. And it got banned right away. We got channel strikes for it on YouTube. Not many people saw it, but it was a wonderful movie. But that kind of launched me into meeting Tracy. I've known Dr. Amanda Vollmer for, 12 years now. And so working with Andy kind of got me launched into what you could probably call the anti-germ theory crowd or whatever this movement is. I didn't really intend to get – that's the movie. Yeah. I didn't really intend to be involved in this movement. But as you know, if you've seen my films, I seem to have a knack for saying things in a way that average normal people like myself can understand. I can describe virology and procedures in a way that normal people can understand. And I think that's why our films are very popular.
Looks like I uploaded it twice to my own channel here at the same time. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, okay. You already got it. Yeah. So yeah, Andy wrote like that.
I've
movie.
Got it twice. I should delete one of them and just leave. One of them has 1,200 views on my site, which is pretty cool.
That's more than we got.
No, you got about 23,000, but in a year.
Oh, okay.
But if I start promoting it again, I'll probably bring it up. But yeah, that's pretty good.
Well, to be honest with you, I should probably re-release it because it was a little ahead of its time. Mm. I think now more people would be open to watching a movie like that. But he sort of stepped my filmmaking game up. You know, I was making really dodgy ghetto films. And then, you know, I thought, oh, God, I've got to make like a real film. Like, this guy's a world famous doctor. So I really put a lot of time making that film, you know, as good as I could because I didn't want to let him down.
Well, your videos are outstanding. You almost seem like a professional, so that's why I was a little. Maybe that's why I wouldn't have reached out to you if the lovely Northern Tracy hadn't mentioned, because most professionals are not really approachable, I would say, but obviously you are. So that's really good. Yeah, your stuff is really top notch.
Well, thank you. But to be honest, I just make them on the free iMovies program that comes with Max.
Amazing.
I have to get creative because I have, maybe as an artist, you know, I have vision. There's things I want to do that the program can't do. Hmm. So I have to do a lot of multi-edits and my own effects. I have to figure out how I can do what I want to do without it letting me do it. So, I'm just like anyone else. I'm just really sitting in my bedroom making these on a Mac.
Yeah, I know the Mac's probably a little better than the PC. Just for creative people, that's always been the thought. Musicians and artists, they've always been drawn to the Mac's features. I guess it's maybe got more software that you can do stuff with. Windows has always been behind on that. So The last Apple I had was back in 1981 because it was the only, it was such a big thing back then, the Apple II. That's when things really got crazy, and I had to spend $3,000 Canadian on that at the time. It was a lot of money, a lot of newspaper money.
Yeah, exactly. They actually still look the same. The operating system looks and works the same.
Oh, is that right? Huh? Yeah.
It hasn't changed much. You know, well, I can't use PC. It's too confusing.
I learned how to program in BASIC, and I wrote a BBS, the bulletin board system.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, it was basically before the internet. You could set your computer up or a series of computers up to receive phone calls, and then people would leave messages, just like a forum today. Like, I still have Fakeologist forums, which is pretty much just a bulletin board system where people leave messages, and there's threads and there's private messages, and it was a self-contained unit. Now, I only had one computer, but if you were ambitious, which I obviously was not, you could string 10 or 20 or 30 computers all together, and they'd all be running away, and you'd need 20 or 30 phone lines, each costing at least $100 a month as a business line. And you had your little private internet. And that was before the internet, of course. But mainly I got into it to share software. And it turns out I didn't even use any of the software. I just liked sharing it. It was the strangest thing. But that was back in the so-called hacker days, the pirating of software. So we just cracked software and shared it, but almost nobody used it. So it wasn't really like we were doing it to steal. It was just we were doing it for the fun of it, and just the community.
I don't know about computer. I can remember in fifth grade, that was probably 1981, we got these computers. I don't even know the TRS. I'm not even sure what
Trash
they were.
80, TRS 80.
Yeah, there was like these green screens like that movie War Game, and we would write like 10 dick and balls, 20, go to 10, and then it would just loop down the screen.
Me too. I did that too. Yeah, go to 10. Yeah.
In the sixth grade, I remember once a month, each student could go down to the library computer lab, which was literally one computer in a corner.
Yeah.
And they had this game called Adventure where it said in the green writing, you're walking through the forest you meet a bear. What do? You're like, use knife.
I
just thought at the time, I thought, this is dumb. How is anyone going to use this?
It was pretty lame at the time.
You know what I mean? 30 years later, I'm a filmmaker, but I still don't know anything about computers. It's just,
Well, you don't have to, as long as you know how to use them for something useful, like what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. As long as you can do what you can do. Yeah.
So do you do your own research? Because I just finished watching your last two productions, which are all just top grade. If anyone wants to see them, if you go to fakeologist.com/blog, I put the two latest ones on. One of them's called Bill Gates, Secret Bloodlines and Boosters Exposed. The other's Nano Man. They're like fully blown movies. That's what I said to you. I need to cut out some time because this is like sitting down to watch a Hollywood production. Got so much information though. You have to really pay attention. So do you do your own research as well?
Yeah, that's why. And I have to apologize to you because I know you were trying to get me on about 2 months ago and maybe more. And I kept blowing you off, and it's because of that.
That's fine.
These films take me, 3-4 weeks a piece to make.
Easy. Yeah.
And that's including the research and then making all the video and layout and setting it to the production. So, what I do is I get an idea of what I want to talk about, and I've done a lot of the research, and then I find some cool music and I make a 2-minute intro that just to get me into it. And then I kind of write them as I go. That's why they take me so long. Mm-hmm. When Ross makes his films, he writes the whole script out already so he can record it. But I write the film as I go.
Right.
So I don't really know where it's going and how it's done. I just know it's done when it's done, And as I'm going, I'm most of the time, a lot of these films were supposed to be 20 minutes. And then I find something because, like, the universe just sends me a download where I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I open like five cans of worms.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I'm like, shit, I got to talk about that. So
yeah.
A lot of these films weren't supposed to be 2 hours. They were supposed to be 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine, especially you went right down. I didn't really watch it. I listened to it because I was driving. I knew driving is my concentration time because when I'm at home, I got too many distractions. But I have to admit, I looked over at the screen while I was driving a little bit down the highway. Don't tell anybody, just to see what you were talking about. But mostly, I could concentrate on your narration, which of course is bang on. But the way you synchronize the text to the picture or the audio to the video is amazing. It's just you're so on point and snappy, and it all hits the right frame. That's good. I know that is very hard to do, is it not?
It is. That's actually one of the reasons, and I always choose classical music in all my films because it changes so much so quickly, and it's so emotional, and then it's quiet, and then it's dun 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 dun. You know, it's dramatic. So I purposely use that music because when I'm doing a piece, if the music just happened, when I'm done talking, if the music's starting to do something fun, then instead of maybe talking right away, which would happen if you wrote a script first, I might take 10 seconds and try to make pictures in the music, you know, emphasize what I'm talking about. So that's the reason I use that music. But yeah, they take a long time to sync this all up.
Yeah, your narration, though, the way when you say something, then you change the image on the screen. That's so snappy and on point. That's got to be hard to do.
It takes forever. That's the problem with these films. So. But to me, that's what I think makes a good film. You know, Spielberg and all these guys, they're doing that, too. Mm. You can either sit and talk, you know, a lot of guys put out hundreds of videos of they talk and they put a slideshow on the screen. But to me, a video is more powerful and emotional and effective. And sometimes you don't need to speak. You can use pictures or videos and music to really impact somebody. So I think I like to do it like a film and take the extra
time, yeah.
Tons of shit ass, tons of time to make it. So like, all right. And I also think like, is this, when I make films, I say, is this relevant in 5 years?
Yeah.
I don't like to talk about what's going on this week in the news, you know, because it's nobody cares in a week from now. So I like to make stuff that's more, I won't say timeless, but more relevant long term.
Yeah, longer of term. Course. Yeah. If you just did today's news, it's old news in 24 hours. The news cycle is 24 hours. So yesterday's news is literally gone and forgotten down the memory hole, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the trouble. A lot of times I'll be making these films and I'll stumble across, I've put something in, and then, you know, 200 people on BitChute have already trended using the same information, doing a quick walk and talk. You know, they're just recording themselves and put them in, and you go, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's already seen what I already spent like 10 hours programming.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So
yeah, and when you're doing those 10 hours, you just missed 10 hours worth of news as well. So something.
I know, you know, things happen so fast, so it's the world's just moving so quickly now.
Oh, it's out of control. I can't keep up. I used to do this show once a week where I just talked about 9/11 and PSYOPs and trying to get people ready for just the next big thing, because I just figured that if you understand 9/11, then whatever comes next, you'll probably be well prepared for. It seemed like a stupid thing to do, but I found that so many people didn't even understand a PSYOP and 9/11 and the media and fakery, that they were getting tripped up on the most basic phony stories in the news. So I sort of concentrated on that as sort of my base lesson that I gave everyone. And then in the end, we just sort of talked about whatever was going on in the fake news on a daily basis. But now, of course, with the coronavirus hoax, I decided that when my work got slow, I could come on every day and just for an hour, just try and talk about what happened, because there's so much happens in one single day. A week later, it would be impossible to summarize a week.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what bit these elites in the ass is. Same happened to me when they locked us down, and then, you know, we were all in lockdown. So I wasn't working. I couldn't teach. I wasn't gigging.
Yeah.
I made like, you know, more films in the last 2 years. I think I made 13 two-hour feature-length films in 2 years. they gave too many of us time to start sitting around doing this and researching germ theory. I think they didn't really plan on that. And as I said in the end of Nanoman, you know, they know they have expert psychologists working on it. They know that whatever people are in fear of right now, they will give importance to. So during Corona or bullshit, if a guy's talking about 9/11 and, you know, steel beams and, you know, people are like, what has that got to do with right now? It's not important, you know. Mm-hmm. And it reminds me of Huxley, actually, Brave New World. In Orwell's book, in 1984, they just get rid of everything. Like, they hide everything and rewrite history. Mm-hmm. But in Brave New World, I see that more happening right now, where they bombard you with so much crap constantly that you can't get emotionally attached or care about anything because, like we just said, it's moving so quickly. What do you give a credence to or pay attention to? You know, you don't even care anymore. Like, yeah, do you see the starving kids in Africa? And you're like, I don't care because I've seen 10 of that today. Mm-hmm. You know, all different things. You know, you don't really care about anything because you're being bombarded with too much. And that's how I think they're playing us right now. They don't care what we know. They just want to make, you know, bombard us with information so we don't know which cause to join. Because which do you? There's about 100 causes right now that are vital. More. Which do you get involved in? And how do you get others involved in it when they're looking at 200 extra causes? You know, it's, you can't get together because you're like, we don't even have one common cause.
And there's no common enemy either, because the enemy could be sitting right beside you at the dinner table because you don't know, you don't really know what's in their head. And a lot of this stuff is hard to talk about with literally your wife or your mother or your brother, because it's very touchy. Health is touchy. It's not really something we talk about too much. You know, I don't even know half the time when my wife has a headache because she hides it, because she gets them fairly regularly, so it would just be retreading the same story because there's not a lot we seem to be able to do about our headaches. So it's just very something people keep quiet about. And now, of course,
well, that's the irony. You're right, and that's what's so ironic is nobody likes to talk about their health, but suddenly you can't walk into a grocery store without some jag off you don't even know asking about your health.
I know.
Are you vaccinated? You're like, fuck off, man. It's not your business.
I know.
Get the fuck out of my face, man. What's it to you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do you have syphilis? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Who did you sleep with last week? Because we need to contact trace the hell out of you based on who you've been around, who you've been with. Yeah, it's just so invasive. It's such an invasive question. And of course, they want to, I'm sure you've probably even put this in one of your movies, they want to automate it all so there is no personal confrontation with someone at the door. You'll just be talking to a screen or scanning a screen and no questions will be asked. You'll either get the gate will go up or the gate won't go up. that's
right. Yeah, you know, and that is where it's going.
Yeah.
But to be honest with you, I can't tell the difference between talking to an AI computer and the girl at the grocery store asking me for my COVID pass. As far as I'm concerned, they're both fucking robots. So
yeah.
I can't tell the difference. But I always, from the beginning, I never wore a mask during this whole lockdown. I made my own little Jew star badge that said, I don't wear a mask. Thanks for considering my health.
Wow.
People say, oh, well, you act like you're an anarchist and you're so hardcore. Why are you wearing that badge? And I said, because I don't even want to have that conversation with 20 Karens. I just want to walk in the store and buy my bananas and get out. I don't need 10 Karens giving me shit. And when they see the badge, they don't know that I made it on a computer and they think it's official. And the security guys were doing the same in the store. Sometimes I'd walk in with my shoulder turned to them because I could see they saw I didn't have a mask. And I'd wait for the security guy to chase me down three aisles. And as soon as he'd get up to me, I'd turn around so he could see the badge. And then he'd pretend like he wasn't chasing me down the store and keep walking to another aisle.
And that's worked? That works?
The start. Yeah. So I was just having a laugh. Now, what I found out, in Denmark, we're dropping the everything like England. We're following in lockstep on the 2nd. So Tuesday, they're getting rid of the whole thing. But someone told me that you could go into the government here and get an exemption from both tests and vaccines and everything, Corona Pass. So I went in to test it out for all my friends. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I went in and I said, yeah, I need an exemption from vaccines and tests. And they said, okay. They said, here's the list. They showed me a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And said, we're not allowed to ask you your medical conditions. Is your exemption reason on here? And it was like a page of crap. I didn't even read it. I just said, yeah. So they just printed me one out.
What?
And that was the end, you know. And then I had a friend was about to lose his job because they wanted to see his, and he won't take the jabs either or the test.
Yeah.
And so I told him, I said, I just got this thing in 4 minutes, mate. They printed it out. So he went in that day, got one, showed it to his boss. Fine. My school where I teach said, like, you need to start showing that you've been tested or vaccinated. I showed them and said, fine. So these exemptions are actually there. It's just no one has the balls to do it. These mask exemptions are there too, but no one has the balls to do it.
Wow. I've never heard of that in Canuckistan where I live. I've never heard a whiff of it. And I follow all the people that are pointing out the illegality of it and printing out the laws and highlighting them. If there was a place where you could go in and get a printout like that, I'd be thrilled. But so I haven't heard that here. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I think I would know about it.
Well, it does because your government officials are using it because you can bet your ass they're not vaccinated and testing. So, okay. And then they need to have plausible deniability. You know, like the Scott Morrison from Australia,
right.
He was just asked in a press conference, what do you have to say to all the people who died and got hurt from this vaccine? And he said, you had informed consent. We told you where to go to get in. They're saying, like, you told me I can't go to a restaurant. I can't get groceries. I can't go to work. You forced me into taking this thing or I can't do anything. And now you're saying that I had informed consent? Bollocks. And they have this. They say, hey, man, you could have got these exemptions. Now, I just made my own mask exemption because people are like that. They're so used to authority that if they see a badge around your neck, that I made mine look kind of official looking, but I made it up.
Yeah.
People don't know, even the police and the trained people, they don't know you didn't get that from a government website because they see a festival badge that says backstage. They assume it's legit. Who the hell makes their own festival badge? You know what I mean? Well, so I just made my own up, and people look at it and go, oh, he's wearing a laminate. I laminated it, too.
So well, that's pretty good.
They don't know. They're looking at you going, where'd that guy get? He must be important. And they leave you alone.
Okay. Well, I'll believe you for Denmark. I'm not going to believe you for where I live at this time because it seems like they're creating little phone booths at the entrance to the Walmarts here. Not right where I am, but I think in the next province over, Quebec, which is the most left-wing totalitarian traditionally in Canuckistan where I live, they're creating little phone booths at the entrance to Walmart that you got to stand in and get escorted to the food section if you don't have your QR code or your pass. And I'm actually looking forward to that if they bring it here because I'd love to have someone hold my bananas and my potatoes as I'm walking past all the Chinese plastic crap that's not food.
It's funny you bring up 9/11 because after 9/11, the airports put in those full body scanners.
Yep.
Remember those, you know, those ones where you get in and the things like Star Trek shit.
And you got to hold your arms up like you're under arrest. Yep.
Yeah, and then it's read. Well, they brought those in for now because those things are going to read the internal biosensors. So that's how they're going to know if you have a fake vaccine pass.
Right.
Is because they're going to make you walk through that thing and it's going to see you don't have a chip or nanotechnology in you.
Okay.
So the fake paper you got off the dark web isn't going to matter when you travel because they'll see it. So they've been setting this whole COVID crap up since 9/11. That was part of this.
Yeah, I always went for the ball rub at the airport. I just said I believed Alex Jones that those things were zapping your whatever. So I just you were always allowed to opt out. Although they didn't advertise that, so I always opted out and got the hand rub.
I always did too. I mean, they say they were unzipping your DNA, but I don't even think that matters. DNA is traits he's probably talked to you about that. That's all theoretical.
Yeah, I don't believe in DNA either. Like, you don't have to. Yeah, almost everything on my site in my brain is a hoax. So you don't have to twist my arm to convince me that DNA is also fantasy land. I have no problem with that concept.
I mean, it's like that guy Galen Windsor, you know, the nuclear scare scam. You've seen that, I'm sure, where he was swimming in the plutonium cooling pools in the nuclear reactors, and he was eating plutonium in his lectures, saying, you know, if the EPA was called right now, they would evacuate a 12-mile radius, and he's eating it, you know, and he's saying, like, radiation's only dangerous if it actually burns you physically. So a lot of what we're told is just nonsense, and we're scared of a lot of stuff we maybe ought not be scared of.
What we can't see. Well, I live beside a nuclear power plant. I go to the beach, and I'm laying on the beach. It's right beside me. So I'm so grateful that, because I was kind of worried about where I bought my house. I thought, well, this is sort of a dumb place to buy a house. It's the only place I could afford. And I thought, it's probably because I'm beside a nuclear power plant and nobody wants to live here. But then I thought, well, this is before I became a fakeologist. The place lit up. Well, I would be dust. So at least I wouldn't suffer. I would just be sand on the beach where everyone else would just get really sick and have
years of consequences. I mean, there is, though, like, there are, like, electromagnetic radiation's different. There are, you know, people who lived at the end of a cul-de-sac with a high tension wire running through, and suddenly 10 kids have cancer in the cul-de-sac. And so there is something going on there, but it's different types of I'm not saying radiation's not dangerous.
We actually looked at another house that was under high tension. I guess they're called high tension wires. And I've golfed under those things. And when it's humid out or it's very high humidity, I've been electrocuted as soon as I raise my 5-iron up into the air. It's something else. It's actually quite an experience. You know, of course, when it's humid, they're buzzing away as the electricity is just frying its way through the ether there. So, yeah, I definitely took a hard pass on the house that was literally right beside a huge power
line. I golf under them, too, though. But, you know, and again, that's also an epidemiological observation. Those cul-de-sacs could have a dirty water supply that they're all sharing out of.
That's true.
There's so many other you know, that's being assumptive that it's the high tension wires. So I don't know, but I'm not pretending that there's no danger from electromagnetic radiation. I'm sure there is, but I don't think it's what I think we worry. I think it's preventable with the right mineral cell salts and magnesium and, you know, the right diet. And, I think you can live through it.
If epidemiologists did their job and actually explain what was really making people ill, wouldn't that be amazing? That's actually what they're supposed to be doing. Not promoting these phony myths, virus myth, contagion myth, germ theory myth. If they're actually looking into things like what you just said.
Well, that's some of the problem I have with the alternative myths, too. Like, people say, because of Dr. Cowan, you know, he turned a lot of people on to Arthur Furstenberg, the invisible rainbow. And a lot of people are saying, no, the 1918 Spanish flu, they had just put up for the first time radio towers. And then you say, but there were a lot of people who didn't take the vax, didn't do anything, who didn't get sick from electromagnetic radiation. So you can't say that it was the new introduction of high tension wires that caused the illness, because like Dr. Eleanor McBean's family, they were walking around in the same radiation as everyone else. They didn't get sick. They didn't even get the flu. And it was like a grand solar minimum, 11-year mini minimum. One of the coldest years on record.
Yeah.
What they didn't do is they didn't take the 16 to 24 bacterial meningitis.
Yes.
They didn't wear masks.
Exactly.
But you can't say it was the radiation from the cell towers because they didn't get sick. Either radiation causes sickness or it might contribute, but it's not the sole cause of any illness.
Yeah. If you get the whole story, give me the whole story and I'll make the determination. And if you told me that these people were given 16 to 24 shots in close range with all kinds of toxins, I would easily sort that to the top of my list. That I think most people would. I don't think anyone has ever heard that story about the Spanish flu, and I've only come upon it in the last couple of weeks, versions of it. because and I'm researching full time. I think what I think I research full time. So the average person is going to have no clue what caused the Spanish flu if they've heard of it at all.
Yeah, well, I covered some of it in that Kill Bill Bloodlines movie, and I also covered it. I did a movie a while back called Biochemistry Debunks Corona.
Yeah.
And the whole last 20 minutes of that, I got into what happened during the Spanish flu. Now, the interesting thing, a lot of people were trying to trace Bill Gates back to Frederick Lamont Gates, who was the one giving out all of those bacterial meningitis shots at Fort Riley, Kansas. The reason they can't find him is they're looking through Bill's dad's bloodline, the Gates family name. Mm-hmm. He's actually related to Reverend Taylor Gates through the Maxwell, through his mother's side, who married into another Gates. So that's how I trace Bill Gates back to both of them. Now, people don't know, but Frederick Taylor Gates, he was a reverend. He was Rockefeller's number one business. He was his business finance executive, like the head of his business and philanthropy advisor. He's the one who made what later became the Rockefeller University. And his son was the one giving out these bacterial meningitis shots, three in a week, to these soldiers in 1917 in Fort Riley, Kansas. And they were all getting sick. And then the next year, they were giving them out to the entire army. And that was all through the dad. So Frederick Lamont Gates was in charge of that. He was the son of Reverend Taylor Gates. It was them. Then what happened was they were saying that these soldiers were coming back with shell shock.
Right.
But the problem was half the soldiers weren't overseas. They weren't in the war. They were serving in American military bases and coming home from Kansas with shell shock. Working in the motor pool, and you're like, shell shock from what? Putting nuts and bolts on a car? Like, that doesn't happen. And what that was, shell shock was, you know, brain contamination from all the contaminants in the vaccines. Then the war ended too early. So the big pharma had all this surplus. They were planning on vaccinating soldiers for years, but the war ended. So they started telling people that the soldiers who are sick from these vaccines are contagious. So you better take them. Right. You know, the soldiers were getting 16 to 24 of them in 2 years. This is crazy.
That's amazing.
If people think the boosters are bad now, they were worse in 1917 and 18. They were getting five or six a year. They were maybe more, you know. So people, because they had to get rid of the surplus. So they just told people, these soldiers are contagious. They're contagious. You better take these so that you're immune. Also, back then, you had the aspirin wars. So now we know you don't take more than X amount of aspirin a day if you're even dumb enough to take aspirin or need to, because it'll kill you. But back then, you went into a chemist, and there was just a jar full of aspirin on the table like candy. So, of course, people were popping aspirin, you know, because they were sick with vaccine poison and also probably the regular flu from the weather. It was a grand solar minimum those 2 years. But they didn't know better. So, you know, a lot of people were dying from that. And then you had the masks and the hypoxia and, you know, acidosis, all the crap the masks do. So there was a lot of factors that added. And I'm not saying that it wasn't also compounded by Arthur Furstenberg's theory of the electromagnetic, you know, the electrification of the earth.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's not a factor. I'm saying clearly that's not a cause of illness by itself, or else everyone would have got sick. And they didn't. As Eleanor McBean said, only the vaccinated got sick. And everyone who went to like Kellogg's or a holistic medical hospital, they had a 99% recovery rate, whereas the mainstream allopathic hospitals were losing a third of their patients through doing whatever the hell they were doing to them. So, you know, it's quite clear. The vaccinated died because they were being injected with toxins. Yeah, poison.
Yeah, I don't think you can beat direct injection. Direct injection is first for poisoning people, and then ingestion through food or drink. I think those are the number one and two ways to probably really harm somebody if you really wanted to do so. Everything else is probably fairly secondary or tertiary, I would think.
Yeah, and then the mental state. So they were going through the same thing we're going through now. You had, you know, two-thirds the population walking around with masks on their face, calling you a non-mask. You know, they were living in dire fear.
Yes.
just like we are today. Most people are. So though the people who knew better weren't afraid. So the mental state is really where a lot of your disease comes in, because it's, you're in fight or flight. You know, it's like a lion's chasing you. Your cells don't know if a lion's chasing you or not. Your mind tells your cells, is there a lion chasing us or not? Then if there is, we shut down our digestive system. We shut down our energy and we put everything into adrenaline and run.
Yeah.
You know, so if people perceive a threat that's not there, and Bruce Lipton gets into this a lot, you know, your whole body metabolism shuts down. Everything, all your energy gets diverted to places it shouldn't be. And that causes a lot of the problems, just the fear alone.
Yeah, the cortisol. The cortisol keeping your muscles tense and all your systems ready to go is very unhealthy, because you have to relax. And if you can't have a state of relaxation, even for an evening, it'll get to you. And even this research is starting to get to me. I noticed I was getting some stomach pains, and to me it was just stress pains. And, you know, I'm always on the lookout because I'm 55 this year. So that's my number one stress, is the number, how many years I've been here. Because just statistically, obviously we go downhill. There's nothing you can do about that as far as I know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe adrenochrome. But whatever. But seriously, that's always been my stress, even before coronavirus, folks, just getting old. And I try not to worry about too many things in life, but especially things that are out of my control. But I think just doing this research and dealing with the zombies, those are my number one and two stressors. So if I...
Yeah, and they had that back in 1918, too. They had the same Karens running around that we have today. I've got a biochemistry book from the 1930s with Dr. George Carey and Inez Perry. About the Schussler, cell salts. I looked up all the medical conditions in the back. I looked up stress. It didn't exist. There's no such thing as stress in the 1930s. It wasn't a medical condition. It was never heard of. Nobody knows this. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's got to be in here. This is like a top medical book. Nothing. This is a recently new phenomenon.
Well, I think if I was running the world and running this human farm, I'd look down and I'd think, you know, there's way too many people that aren't really doing any real work. That's one of the reasons why I took a menial job. I drive a truck, and I know I'll be replaced eventually, but I figured I'd have at least a lifetime of moving stuff from A to B. It's not really a problem, but overall, there are so many people just pushing paper around, and they're not doing anything. They have tons of time to think, where I think maybe 100 years ago when you're working on a farm, you didn't have time to think. You had to feed the cows and pull down the hay, and if you didn't do it, you'd have a huge problem because there's no one else there to do it for you. So I think that might have something to do with it. People have too much time on their hands.
I think they do, and I think you're so right. And I think that... you know, when you zoom out a little bit from current affairs and just look at the larger picture, I think this happens. Like, creation gets soft. People have a good life for a while. And then it's like getting boring for the creation. So they shake it up. I always tell people, Bill Gates is no less a product of nature than a volcano or a tsunami or a hurricane. You know, these are people, too. And the Hopis, when you look at the Hopi prophecy, now the Blue Kachina, that was a comet that turned up in 2019. A lot of people didn't pay attention to this. This giant blue comet appeared. And the Hopi said, right after that thing turns up, half the world goes crazy who aren't spiritually centered. And I think when you look around, you can agree, you can't get any more crazy town than this right now. But, you know, you got to remember, well, the elites are people too. Now, when they go crazy, they're dangerous because they have power to... You know, a Karen can just yell at you in a supermarket. But if a Bill Gates and a George Soros go crazy, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you said a few things I never heard of, Hopis, and I never heard of the blue meteor.
Well, they have it's the Hopi prophecies. They have the blue Kachina, which is just a comet, and then the red Kachina appears, and the next reset happens. People might call it the mud flood or the reset. Or, you know, there's a lot of names for that. But that blue comet appeared in the sky in 2019, and it wasn't talked about very much. I covered it in the film.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, I did it. If you go on my YouTube channel later on, you can. I did a series called Comets, Cataclysms, Coincidence back in 2019, right before the Rona crap happened. And I went into detail in all this and what comets really are. They're not space rocks of snow, you know. So, but anyway, so it's, they said, and it happens after lines crisscross the sky, which is chemtrails. Right. And after a spider web appears across the world, which could either be the World Wide Web or it could be the power lines. You know, there's many ways to read their prophecies. But anyway, when you read their prophecies, they were right. You know, same with a lot of the Christians are saying, well, this is the mark of the beast. And I'm not personally a Bible literalist. I was raised Roman Catholic, and I'm not dissing any Christians who are. I totally respect anyone's belief. But I got to say, you know, this, I have a different understanding of what the mark of the beast is. But when you take it literally, this looks like it. I saw a video of new refrigerators that came out for supermarkets that are going to scan your forehead and your right hand, or left hand, before you can open the fridge. And it's like a bulletproof glass. And these are going to be in supermarkets and kiosks. All so right, you're thinking like, oh, you shall have a mark on your head and your hand, you know, when you start looking at. So either the people behind this are doing this on purpose to fuck with the Christians.
I think so.
Or the prophecy's real. I don't know. Take your pick. But, it's not a coincidence that it's happening. Whether they're doing it just because they're having fun, you know, messing with people, I don't know. But you do have to say, well, this sure does look like the mark of the beast.
Yeah, well, I think what you just said, the latter, that they read the Bible too, and they definitely are into manipulating people's minds. That to me is the most explored science. That's what the elite have over us. They know how to control our mind. They know how to manipulate us. They have us all running after these fiat currencies that they've just devalued 1,000% in the last 2 years. So they really need to keep us on the farm and in the fence, and that's mind manipulation. They know all the keys. They know all our weak spots. We're all the same, no matter what color or religion. We all have the same weak spots. They might be biological weaknesses that they just take advantage of. They know how the brain works. They know how the subconscious works. They know about repetition and propaganda. Why else would they pull this virus hoax year over year over year, or 100, you know, they leave 20 years in between? They just wait for the next generation of dummies to grow up, and then they do it again and again and again.
Exactly. And Alan Watts said that for years. You know, what we call psychiatry or psychology and social studies, these were esoteric occulted sciences that they released to the public. Now you take them in school. You're so right. And when you look at where did all this modern thing start, you know, some people say, oh, it's the Illuminati in 1776. Well, really, I mean, what we're in now goes back to Lord Alfred Milner, the Milner Group in the late 1800s, and Bertrand Russell and these guys. And then they create the Tavistock Institute with one of the Rothschilds. And then that turns into the Royal Institute for International Affairs, which turns into the Council of Foreign Relations in the States with Rockefeller,
which
turns into the United Nations. And you can really trace this back, but that's exactly what they have. Tavistock writes the script because they know fear-based mind control and psychology. They have all their experts doing study after study and survey. We did a survey, and you're like, who's going around surveying everyone about all this dumb shit? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They're doing it because they're surveying the shit out of everyone about everything, because that's how they know. That's what all this AI, you know, it's same with you're thinking something, and suddenly an ad pops up on social media, and you're going, how the hell, you know, or have you ever done this? You go on to do like a DuckDuckGo or a Google search, and the first word you type shouldn't be what you're looking for, and it knows the first thing it shows you is what you're looking for, which should be.
Have you ever seen? I use it all the time, actually. And I am surprised when I'm looking up something obscure that many times, not every time, but it brings up what I'm looking for. Yeah, you can turn that feature on or off. I leave it on just to save myself typing. But yeah, it does work, and it's gathering information from a million different points of data collection to make a very accurate predictive programming. And it could be anything from what you just typed, what you've been searching for in the past. If you have an Android phone connected to your account, which most people do, it's also listening to you. There's no doubt, because my phone, I know I can turn it off, but when I'm listening to a podcast, sometimes my phone will think the podcast is talking to the phone. It'll stop the podcast and said, "What did you just say?" And start searching for it. So it's listening. Obviously, it's listening to the podcast, because I don't even know what the trigger word is for my phone to get it to listen to me, actually. And I didn't even turn it on. I probably should turn it off. But yeah, it's using all these sources to generate searches, and Facebook.
Yeah, and they know this, you know, everything's planned out. Even when you watch the news, there's a reason every news program starts with a spinning ball and three words spinning around it. They know that's hypnotic.
Yeah.
Even Alex Jones, I don't care if you're watching alternative or real, if you really look behind the newscaster, there will be a light on the screen, the green screen behind them, slowly getting brighter and less and brighter and less and brighter and less bright.
Right, yeah.
If you ever just watch any newscast, watch the screen behind him and look at the light intensity. Even Alex Jones is doing it. Everyone, it's to hypnotize you. And they know this. This is not like a secret thing. They know this is how you hypnotize people. Spinning orbs and flashing lights. And so it's everywhere. Everything they do is based on mind control. Everything is psychologically based. They have experts.
Yeah.
They hire the smartest psychiatrists, psychologists from school. They've got them working for them. They pay them huge money.
Money. Yeah, that's where all those military budgets go. They're not blowing up so many bombs and buying so many planes. It must go mainly to psyops and psychological operations.
You can see it even, you know, like your listeners know, you know, these pictures they show us of viruses, you know, the ball with the little spikes, fake spike
protein.
There's
a lunar lander bacteriophage as well. That's a good one.
We know they're all drawings and artist renditions and CGI. We know they're not photographs, but people don't realize the reason they made COVID-19 red is they know when you walk through nature and you see something red, it's dangerous. When you see a red snake or a millipede with red stripes, get the hell away from it.
Yeah, blood.
They have thought about what color to draw that fake virus. They didn't just say make. What do you think? Red or green, or should we do blue? They purposely drew this one red.
Yeah.
That's how detailed everything you ever see is controlled. It's down to every last detail. They have this planned out.
Yeah, they're devious.
Every last detail, you know, and people don't realize that. Like, even if you think you're awake, you are still being fucked with more than you even know. Even me, you know, I'm pretty awake, but I'm still falling for shit.
No, I know. We all are. Yeah, yeah. I agree with you, and I fall for quite a few what I thought was real, and it's probably later figured out as fake. Just anyone who wants to ask Facebusters a question, you can email me at ima@fakeologist.com. I pay attention mainly to the email, but I will look in the chat. I just got an email from PGO, a regular contributor, and he wants me to ask you this, so I'll ask you before I forget. Is there concern for purebloods to share space with the unvaxxed, i.e. shedding? What do you think of that? Real or fake?
It depends. What's his definition of shedding? Can you ask what he means by shedding? Because I'm not sure we're talking about. Well, okay, I'll answer too. I think I might know. No, there's no concern that spike proteins or some kind of thing is shedding out on you, and like you're going to catch something that was injected into them. There's no evidence for that. However, there is evidence because of the technology in these injections, as I showed in Nanoman, and because of the graphene oxide takes energy and it's a transistor. So if you beam it with a certain amount of energy, it will exponentially amplify that 10,000 times perhaps. And Bluetooth, if you ever, in my film, you saw that woman turn the Bluetooth on and her radiation machine went nuts, right?
Yes.
These people are giving off Bluetooth signals, which means they are emitting radiation. And how many, you know, your phone's got one Bluetooth emitter. How many do these people have in them? So there's a radiation concern about them, possibly. But there is, I've seen no evidence that you should be worried about spike proteins or poisons. Now, I don't know if you're having sex with someone and you're sweating on each other and they're sweating out graphene oxide and toxins. I don't know, you know, but I think I'll just say I'm not afraid to get near a vaccinated
protein. I agree. I think it's part of the psyop for sure. If there's no evidence for sure, then I always think it's just more psychological operations, because if you're afraid and extra afraid that someone beside you is going to contaminate you, which sort of goes against the whole virus theory that we've been talking about in the first place. We know, we're pretty sure on our side that there is no contagion. Nothing is jumping between people. You can't even smear your pus on me in an open wound to make me sick. I believe those stories more than the opposite. Oh yeah.
Well, they used to do that with inoculation. I mean, that was the thing. You know, when you look at Dr. Jenner, when you go back to the to the cowpox thing. The milkmaids were immune because there was a famine, because the Iceland volcano had erupted 3 years before and was spilling sulfuric dioxide out over the whole northern hemisphere for 3 years. So there was a famine and they were all poisoned to death. Now, a mother's milk will always give the potassium chloride and all the minerals to the baby. It's, you know, nature works that way. If the mother's sick, it will make sure the milk to the baby is healthy.
Okay.
So there was a famine going on and these milkmaids were starving and they were drinking raw teat milk from cows all day. That's why they never got the pox.
Oh.
Now Jenner thought, well, they're immune to the pox because they're around these cows all day. So they must have caught the cow pox and then made an immunity.
Right. They had a bit of the disease. Yeah.
They didn't realize that the smallpox itself was a food, it was a mineral deficiency from the famine and poisonous sulfuric dioxide fallout from the volcano.
Yeah.
So now what Jenner never noticed was that the farmers and their kids were around the cows just as much as the milkmaids, but they still got the pox.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because they weren't drinking teat milk all day. They were actually eating meat, you know, these cow. But the cowmaids did. They did actually get pox on their hands, on the palms of their hands. And that's because they were touching the poison seeping out of the teat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the cow, so your skin, that's all these people who keep washing their hands 10 times a day with these hand sanitizers for COVID.
They're poisoning their hands.
Turn those things around and read the ingredients on the back. There's a big orange skeleton that says this shit is poisonous and your skin is, you know, it's a two-way street.
Yeah, that's for sure.
It takes in chemicals. That's why you wash your hands if you work around chemicals.
I watched a video of a girl in school in Alberta, Western province, and she was busy washing down her desk in school with what I think are called quats, which are super highly toxic cleaners. I think they're called quats. It stands for something, ammonia in there. She got super sick by being exposed to these toxic chemicals because they were doing it all day long. As soon as somebody got up or changed classes, they were just putting this super high toxic cleaner on, and she got so ill, and that's toxemia or chemical poisoning. She was
I think it was like 2 years ago, that guy just won his lawsuit against Monsanto. He was a school gardener.
Right.
He was spraying Roundup on the ground, and he got like stage 4 cancer all over his body. And he wasn't even touching this stuff. He was just, you know, just spraying Roundup without a suit on in the school grounds.
Yeah, he's inhaling it probably, inhaling a higher concentration than a normal person would, Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you go back to polio, whereas a lot of people who believe in germ theory go, look at polio. We know vaccines work because they eradicated. And you say, no, they were spraying crops with lead arsenic and then DDT.
Uh-huh.
And then Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, everyone knows him. Oh, he was the president who got crippled from polio. No, the guy had an apple orchard on his own private ranch with a drain out pond at the bottom where they were spraying his orchards with DDT. And every time it rained, it ran into that pond, and he swam in it every morning for 40 minutes. And then all of a sudden, he's got polio. And you're like, yeah, you're swimming in DDT every morning for 40 minutes.
Northern Tracy just put a message into the chat. I don't know if you're looking at the chat at the same time. She said, she told you that it's bullshit. And I can't remember what you were talking about exactly at that minute. But yeah, Northern Tracy's communicating with you through the chat. I think she's talking about the shedding part.
There's blood poisoning. These particles can be shedded through the plum of the man. Oh, no, that's someone else.
Yeah, underneath that.
What are you saying, Tracy? What did you tell me about? The orchard, was it?
Well, Northern Tracy, if you want to slide into the conversation, you're certainly welcome to.
Now, the other thing I just want to say about polio was, well, you can't eradicate it because it's not a thing. It's heavy metal poisoning. But
right.
Polio is Guillain-Barre syndrome. It's just been renamed. There's still polio. Yes. Now, what's funny is
acute myelitis or something is another.
Well, poliomyelitis, but now they call it Guillain-Barre syndrome. And yeah, transverse myelitis, I think, is another one of the names. Yes, but when you look up the two of them, they have the exact same symptoms. But polio says it's a viral caused by a virus. Guillain-Barre says it's the same exact list of symptoms, but it's caused by a metal poisoning in the nervous system. You know, so you're like, how can two things have the exactly same syndrome symptoms?
Right.
But you say one's a virus and one's so they didn't eradicate polio. It's just they changed the name and then they stopped spraying. They used to spray kids with DDT on their way to school with spray guns.
Oh, she's They're saying crazy. The Calmaid story is BS that you just gave us. So that's the one. So she can come. I sent you a link, Tracy, if you want to come in and say it directly to Steve, you can. Well,
yeah.
You said the right word, syndrome. If you look up the word syndrome, syndrome means come together, and drome is road. What they've done with AIDS, with COVIDs, with polio, is they've taken a number of symptoms, up to 20 or so different symptoms, and they've named it a disease. And then they assign it a so-called virus that they say has all these syndromes have in common. That's really what we've got with COVIDs, if anyone was curious. It's not COVIDs or COVID is a syndrome. So they've taken the regular symptoms of a cold, runny nose, sore throat, itchy eyes, headache, maybe a fever, and they've labeled it and assigned a specific set of genetic sequencing on a computer, a set of proteins that they've lined up. So all they're doing is testing for this lineup of proteins that they say causes this syndrome or disease. And people identify with it because most people are worn out, especially in the winter, to the point where they get runny noses, sneezing, headaches, that lack of sunshine. So they can really identify that everyone can play along with this syndrome because it affects almost everyone at some point, especially in the winter. So it's really us healthy people, those of us that actually manage to stay healthy throughout the year, including the winter, I almost never get sick. Now, I'm going to have to knock on some wood now. But I am fairly careful with my health, including sleep. So I never get sick. So to me, it's an insult to think that, I should take something to stay healthy. I think what I'm doing is working, so I don't really need to take anything. Like even my mother said to me, through my father, because she won't talk to me directly, she said, well, if they make a vaccine that you can take as a pill or spray up your nose, will you take it? I said, no. I have been concentrating very hard on staying healthy for the last 30 years. So why should I change anything now? Because I've done my research. You haven't. Anyway.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying is so relevant because we keep calling it sick. You're not sick, you're healing. Flu and cold symptoms, you're taking a dump, you know, just like you take a poo after you eat a bunch of food.
Right.
You're getting the leftover toxins out. A flu and a cold means you've got body poo inside you that needs to go.
Right.
No idiot would start taking a dump and then hold it in halfway and then hold it for 5 weeks, except Joe Rogan.
Right.
Who, you know, he'll take ivermectin and hold in his body poo for another year. And then when it tries to poo again, he'll take it again because he thinks it worked the last time because he feels better. You know, we need to stop saying that I'm sick. we're healing. You're not, you aren't ill, you're healing. And that's what this germ theory nonsense does, is it programs our brains to think that having a runny nose and a fever and shakes and sweats and a cough and diarrhea is sick. It's not comfortable, of course, you know, but it's getting toxins out of you. You're not sick, you're healing. And the only reason you're fevering and shaking is your body is trying to squeeze toxins out of the tissue and then fever it out. And so why on earth would you take aspirin and Tamiflu and, you know, right, medications to stop that? No one can argue that if you take ivermectin, you will stop detoxing. Just like you can't argue that if you have a headache and you take aspirin, there's not a person in the world who doesn't agree that aspirin will stop your headache, the feeling of it. But aspirin will not stop the cause of it,
right,
whether it's dehydration, stress, you know, whatever reason you have a headache. Nobody in the world would argue that aspirin doesn't stop you feeling a headache. That it's a known fact. No one in the world would argue that ivermectin will stop your body from detoxing poisons, because it's so toxic itself that your body stops detoxing because it has a new threat to take care of. So yeah, you feel better, but you're not better. You still have those poisons in you that you were trying to detox. You know, they have to come out eventually. Just like if you start taking a dump and squeeze your butt halfway through, well, what are you going to do with the rest of the dump? It's got to come out. So Joe Rogan, you know, that's the danger with what he's telling people is, yeah, next year he's going to detox again. And then he's going to take ivermectin. In 3 years, you'll see him in the hospital with cancer and liver damage, you know, and he's not going to figure, and then he might figure out why, you know. So the people are getting in a cycle. They're not understanding that flu and cold are just healing. You're not sick.
Yeah.
You're getting better.
It's your body repairing itself. So don't get in its way. Let your body do its thing and give it all the building blocks to continue its job. Get your sleep, drink clean water, have nutrition, get fresh air.
Yeah.
These are all the inputs.
It's important that you fast. You know, a lot. That's another thing. Like whenever you have food in your stomach, all 80% of your body's energy goes to digestion and then waste removal. Always,
right,
no matter what. So a lot of people are like, oh my God, I lost my sense of taste and smell. You know, it's like, yeah, because you're sick. You're not sick. Again, I just said it. See, we're so programmed. I said it myself. You're toxic and you need to detox. Your body knows, as Dr. Herbert Shelton said, nature knows better than you. Stay out of its way and let it do its job, you know.
Yeah.
The reason you lose your taste of sense and smell is because your body's doing you a favor, saying while you're detoxing, we don't want you eating because we need the energy to go toward the rest of the process.
That's true.
So you can't smell your wife's cooking or, you know,
right,
you're not tempted.
You're
to
not
be hungry.
Tempted, yeah. And we don't want you to taste the food, so you eat more. So you can't taste. We shut down all these inputs, so to give you the clue that you shouldn't do that. That makes sense.
Yes. And then a lot of people say, well, I'm already done with the flu, but I still can't smell or taste 2 weeks later. And you say, well, you probably took aspirin and Tamiflu. You're not done with the flu.
Yeah, you're not done.
You shut off your detox, and that's why your body hasn't given you your sense of smell back. Because now these swabs, though, these deep nasal swabs have radiation in them, which also causes loss of sense and smell. So a lot of people who are taking this dumb test up their nose every 72 hours, they might actually have another reason. That could be radiation causing, because these tests are highly radioactive. They're hitting 350 to 500 on rad meters when you hold these deep nasal swabs up to a meter, as you saw in my movie.
Yeah.
So that could be happening for some of these people. But normal people who lose their sense and smell, during cold and flu season, is that. It's your body trying to do you a favor and not make you hungry because it knows you should be fasting.
All right. Let's talk about your last two videos, because they're on my mind more than the other ones. I actually didn't realize you had such a huge catalog. You do have representation on YouTube, but most of the latest stuff are just trailers to get people to go over to.
That's because we have two permanent channel strikes.
Okay.
They kept giving us strikes and then removing our films. One of my strikes was me responding. A guy put a comment in the comment section that his sister was a nurse back when they were dancing around on TikTok.
Okay.
So I just made a comment about his sister, and then I got a permanent channel strike from my comment replying to a comment in one of my videos.
Or do you think it was a coincidence that they would do that?
No, the guy probably reported me, you know, as like cancel culture crap.
I don't know. Maybe that's happening. That's true.
Of course it is. Yeah. So we're very careful. We know what YouTube's going to, we've already got so many strikes. So we know what's allowed and not.
Maybe you should turn off comments. So you're not even tempted. Just like your body turns off your sense of smell, turn off comments. Does that help?
Well, it's the films themselves. Sure. We've got two permanent strikes, and then we've had five strikes that had a 3-month, you know, like the strike was a probational strike that goes away after X amount of months.
Yeah.
So we already know anything medical, it's you're gone, and they're looking to get rid of us. And we don't actually care about YouTube, but we do have about, I don't know, 25,000-30,000 subs maybe.
Yeah. Well, I have a YouTube channel as well. I have a couple, but the minute this show stops streaming on YouTube, then I just delete it as fast as possible because I don't think they censor in real time, although some people say they do, but I just delete it right away. And if I forget to delete it, then I'll get a strike. It's happened before. I forget to delete it. I come back in the morning. Oops. So I can't
believe is they have bots going through because, you know, we've had films that we made, you know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago where all of a sudden it's gone from your channel and you got a temporary strike, you know, and you're like, what? So I think there's bots. I don't know how it works, but they are combing back catalogs. And a lot of people like Globusters did like you, they just took down their entire back catalog just in case, you know?
Yeah. Well, people like the live streaming on YouTube more than my video platform, FakoTube, just maybe it's the app on their phone works a little bit better. It works in the background. So I get it. So I'm all over the place where people can find me, but all my videos are on FakoTube, and that way I can count them. I can see how long people watch the video, as if it matters really, and I can probably get a pretty accurate count on how many people are actually there and watching it. So that's my platform.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I like. You know, I think Ross and I went to BitChute about, 2-3 years ago, and it was the best – you know, the most viewed video they ever had was 300,000 views. Then we set the record with our first big one, 5G Kung Flu. And we got almost 1 million views just on part one alone. So we set the new BitChute record.
Oh, you guys, wow.
When we started on BitChute, it was like a little loser platform and it was really slow and sucked to upload and it took a while till the videos loaded. But we were saying like, this is going to be big. Yeah, you can see that one on the top right. Scroll back up.
Oh, right here.
See that top right one?
Yeah, almost 1 million.
That was our first BitChute film, and it got, I think, 1,999,000. That was part one to a 6-part series. And I think it got 1 million. So we set the record. And sure enough, within a year, David Icke and all these guys around there on London Reel, you know, 4 or 5 million views. I think that loser, Judy Mikovits, even got a few million with her. So we were the first one to break the record and really make BitChute where people said, wow, you can actually... you can get there's a lot of people looking at this, you know, and then we went over to Odyssey and we don't get nearly as many views on Odyssey, but we still get pretty good. Like I get 50,000-60,000 views on a good film.
Yeah.
So we don't actually care about YouTube because we get more views on these two platforms than we ever did. We don't get advertising, but YouTube turned off our advertising anyway. When they didn't ban a video,
right,
they would turn off our ads and say it's not suitable for advertisement.
Yeah.
So we don't really care about YouTube.
There's 6 parts to this Kung Flu video. I don't even remember watching the first one. So.
No, that was that's the one that put us on the map, and probably Dr. Kaufman and Cowan, and yeah, we put a lot of people on the map with those films.
Okay.
Unfortunately, we got part two, I put Dana Ashley in there, and her YouTube channel got deleted because of that video. All these people went over and then they banned her. They
How long
her
did
off.
It take you to do 6 parts? It was the 6-part.
Some months. Yeah, I was rifling through those. Well, that was during the lockdown. That's what I'm saying. So
was there an hour? Are they an hour each?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's long series. About 6 hours, maybe something like that. 7 hours. Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to watch it. I must
admit. That's what I'm saying. I had time. I had nothing to do. I got kicked off my jobs and everything, so I just had time to. I just made movies.
Wow. So the first one got tons of hits. And
yeah, they go down after that, probably 100, 200,000, and then 60, 80. Yeah, you know.
Right.
The first one was very big.
What are all the different parts about? So just to give me a preview, I'll watch them, but I'm just curious what.
Well, same stuff we always, 5G, then virology hoax, and yeah, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, a lot of 5G electromagnetic radiation, and okay. Then, you know, viruses are frauds. And yeah, it was the first series on fraudulent virology, and then we started to kind of go a little more deeper and in detail. And some of it, a lot of it's about the Great Reset, you know, Fourth Industrial Revolution. I was telling people two years ago when this all started, this is the Great Reset.
You've been right on top of this. Yeah, this is March 16th, 2020. So you've been right on top of this from the beginning.
Wow. I told everyone in 2020, this is a UN Agenda 21 Great Reset depopulation move. I told everyone right from the beginning. That's why those videos took off, because I was already on it. But a lot of, not just me, a lot of people were. I'm just the one who made it, the films, you know, that kind of broke it.
And you did most of these. So these six parts were all done in March 2020? I'm looking at the dates.
Quite a lot of them. I was firing them out a lot. Yeah, I think I was putting them out every week maybe, or yeah, quite a bit. I was
you've
just
got everyone. You got Amanda Vollmer, Eleonora McBean, Cowan, John Rappaport. These are all my favorites. So you've really... Yeah. You got some people I don't know. Everyone's going to have to go watch this series too.
Yeah, it's a really good series, you know. And then later we had a really big one called Once Were the Living, which was really part one to Nanoman, where we told everyone we didn't know what was going to be in the injection. So Once Were the Living was really about the external technology that will be reading what's in the injections. I didn't know at the time. How were they going to communicate? I didn't know anything about the internal technology injected into the body. I knew that they were going to wirelessly talk to our bodies, and I knew how they were going to do it externally, but I didn't know how was it going to do it.
Is there a
part, that one was really big.
Is there part four to six as well? Because I'm on part three here. I don't see the link to part
four. Yeah, there's that's because some other one. Yeah. If you click on our profile and then scroll down, those are the most popular. So if you click on the Space Busters logo,
right,
and then scroll down, then you get all the rest of them down there.
Okay, so you didn't cross-link part three to part
no,
four.
And at the same time, you know, we were also moving videos over from YouTube. So there's a bunch of weird ones there's a bunch of in-between stuff that was being moved over from our YouTube channel. Some of the Atlantis and the Spars Wars is a fun one. That's a great one.
That one's for Napoleon. He loves Star Wars. So Napoleon, yeah, if you haven't watched Spars Wars, The Empire Strikes Back.
Blacks.
Let's do a quick summary. What do you think is happening? What is the coronavirus hoax Great Reset all about? Could you just summarize it in 5 minutes for just the average person who has no clue? Because you have so much content that someone is going to spend weeks going through all this.
Well, I can give you what I think it's about anyway. This is my perspective.
Sure.
That's all I can offer.
Well, that's all I want.
The Tartarian people and the Reset people will know about this. We have these things called grand solar minimums every 200 and 400 years where the Earth as we know it completely changes. And I guess what you could call series of huge weather changes, disasters, parts that are desert become green and grow, and parts that are green become cold. Like the Earth changes. And they know this. And the last one happened around the early 1800s or late 1700s, from what everyone can tell in the Tartarian research communities. So they've been getting ready for this, and they've been getting ready in the Sahel region and the deserts too, all along what you'd call the 33rd parallel, whether you're flat Earth or round Earth, it's the same ring. And it's going to be the new growing place. It's if you're looking at electroverse.net and all the websites that are tracking the weather, David Dubine, Adapt 2030. It's raining like crazy. It's snowing in these regions. It hasn't done it since the last reset. So they're going there, and they're investing. China just invested trillions into the Sahel region, into the deserts of northern Africa.
Yeah, I'd never heard that until I watched your video. I'd never heard that, honestly.
Yeah, I covered it in Comets Cataclysms 3 years ago before this COVID. So okay. That's why they're flooding Europe with North African immigrants. That's why Gaddafi had to go, because they're trying to get them out of there because they're going there. And they don't want us coming there. So that's why people always say, well, how come, why, you know, if Lord Alfred Milner made this New World Order in 1880, why are they still doing it 200 years later when they're not alive? They're getting ready because they know this happens. They know the cycles. And they know that this one is supposed to come. It starts around now, 2019 to 2099. So they're helping it with weather modification. A lot of people say the weather changes are only them. It's only the chemtrails, and they're doing it all. My take is that they knew it's coming, and they're trying to hurry it up. That rather than wait for 2050, they're trying to get it in place by 2030. That's my opinion, and people can agree or disagree. To track everyone, you need to kill most people. You need to take away their cars. If you look at Agenda 21, no private vehicles, only electric cars, which can only drive for, 200 miles?
That's right.
Then they got to be recharged.
Right.
No private property. You can't grow your own food.
Yeah.
Everything you look at sticks you in a control city where they control you and you can't move. Every 5G tower you look at, it's on a go, you know, when we drive out to go golfing from Copenhagen, there's these towers on every exit. We only have three motorways that get out of Copenhagen. There's only three ways out, plus the sea over to Sweden. They all are surrounded by these towers. And you've seen La Quinta's newest video, you know, a guy sitting on his bicycle next to a 5G tower.
No,
and
I
the
haven't.
Security camera.
I've never
okay,
watched
well,
his videos. No.
A guy's on his bike next to a 5G tower waiting across the street. Suddenly the security camera screen flashes kind of weird, like when you get, you know, electromagnetic interference. And the guy instantly drops the second it flashes.
Whoa.
So he's clearly jabbed. Yeah, well, he's clearly jabbed, and he's got some kind of graphene tech in him that danced around and killed him. So they dropped him dead right then and there. So I think these towers they're going to lock you in the cities, and if you have this shit in you, they will just kill you if you try to leave. They'll just excite the particles. If you don't have a zinc buffer in you, and you know they hit you with an energy beam, and it amplifies 10,000 fold, it's going to just destroy your organs instantly unless you have zinc to take up the charge. So that's what I think's going on. This whole control grid is because they want as many gone as they can so we don't come where they're going, and they want to control everyone who's left.
What do you think they're going to do with North America?
Well, Bill Gates, if you watch him, he's buying up all the deserts out in Arizona and Nevada, Southern California.
Do we have
California,
proof of that? Are we sure of that, or is that just – more propaganda?
No, that's for certain. Yeah, he's open about it himself, and he's getting into farming, food control.
Right.
So he's open about that. The Gates, these are all normal Gates Foundation purchases. Amazing Polly has done a lot of great work on tracing transactions. Yeah. So that's what the elites are all doing. You know, they're getting into food. They're selling. A lot of them are selling off a lot of corporate assets and then going into either biotech or farming, and a lot of them are buying physical assets to land mostly. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to crash the economy as well, so a lot of them are trying to move their money into other things.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my take on what this is really all about. I think it's so they come out on top again.
What are they going to do? So this is northern Africa, which is the Sahara Desert.
Sahel, yeah, exactly, yeah. And there are ruins in there. It's scattered with fairly recent ruins sticking out of the sand all throughout the, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of miles of what we would call Roman architecture sticking out of the sand, which we now know is Tartarian. It's not ancient.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty recent.
Yeah, I don't know Tartaria. I know the word, but that's just another rabbit hole I've never been down. How long have you been looking into that?
4 years.
And what convinced you that that's a real story? Is there anything in particular?
Well, I mean, it's the name that the research community is giving it. I have, can I try to share my screen here, actually?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's try this now.
Hold on. Yeah, we tested it out earlier, so we can.
Crap. Here we go. Screen share. Share screen. Click that thing.
Yeah, I see
it
now.
Can you see my screen now?
Yeah, you got the front page of the.
All right, here we go. So this is a copy of Freemason magazine from April 15th, 1865.
Okay.
And they say, under whatever name known, the objects of the society, the Freemasons, have been the same. Politically, the overthrow of the Tartars, and generally the formation of mutually protective associations. Thus, the chief of your Freemason lodge, you know, blah, 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 blah. So the Tartarians were the advanced civilization before us who built all these capital buildings, these dome buildings, churches, which are not churches. You know, these are cathedrals, are cathode rays. These are energy devices.
Okay.
All these buildings are energy devices for changing the ether, the water structure, harvesting etheric energy. This was built by a very advanced society not too long ago that was destroyed in the last reset. And these Freemasons got the Freemasonry. After the mud floods, they just came in and dug out the good stuff and then wrote stories with all their Jesuit and Vatican monks. And these whole timelines and stories are wrong, who the royalties were. It's everything we know is just a crock of crap written pretty recently to hide the fact what these Freemasons are talking about. Their whole plan is that we don't know there was a free society that built all these structures that are harvesting etheric energy. You can look on all these buildings. These are antennas sticking off the top.
Right.
You know, with mercury. A lot of people, they hide it too in folklore. So have you ever seen red mercury?
No. What's that?
Well, when you go on, like, you can go look on YouTube. It was outlawed. They said it was too dangerous, but it's attracted by gold, and silver repels it. Garlic repels it. You can't see it in a mirror. It's invisible. And it was
red
a technology.
Red Mercury comes up right after Red Mercedes.
Yeah, Red Mercury, right? If you look at some video, I can stop sharing my screen. Hold on a second.
No, it's okay. I've brought my screen up.
All right, so you can see yours, yeah.
Neptunium.
So,
hello and welcome. So I keep hearing about this Red Mercury thing,
yeah.
And I didn't know what it was about, so I put it to the test, and this is what I find out. So Red Mercury is this mystical substance with extraordinary properties, and making it is a still kind of an alchemist trade secret. But here are some of its main...
Isn't that stuff super dangerous to work with? Could he breathe that in and kill himself?
Well, this is what they told you, but the thing, and I don't know that you can make it. Like, you can't even find it. It used to be in old radio and transistor parts up until the 1940s.
Okay.
Then it disappeared. But, you know, you can see, if you put a mirror up to it, you can't see it like a vampire,
mm-hmm.
Right? It's attracted by silver. Garlic repels it. There's something in the electric field of garlic that repels it.
So this now is a vampire story.
It is, yeah. And you look at a vampire, right? And it's red mercury. So you say, what is vampire? Right? Well, mm-hmm. It's voltage amperes. Vampire, voltage amperes.
Mm-hmm.
What does a vampire turn into? A battery, a bat.
Oh, wow, that's funny.
A vampire battery, a voltage ampere battery. It hates garlic. You can kill it with silver. You know, silver soaks up this red mercury. See, the whole story of this red mercury was hidden from us by turning it into folklore.
Oh, that's cool. That's interesting. Never
this
heard that.
This is how they do it all the time, you know. You look at lycanthropy, like these stories of shape-changing, you know. The only thing that is a lycanthrope is bacteria. That's the only real animal we know, besides a gecko who can change colors, that can actually change shape and form is bacteriophage. Bacteria into somatids, right? So they take all the truths and then they hide them in lore. This is how they hide stuff from us.
So by putting it in lore, we're not likely to believe it? Is that?
Yeah, we believe this lore story and we don't start looking into what it really means. This is what they do with everything. Everything we know is fake and it's not that old. You know, I've got books about Abraham Lincoln where they keep calling him a mulatto. I've got six alternative books where they say he's half black.
Oh, wow.
You can start looking at the Kings of Scotland. They're black. You're like, what? What's that all about? You know, what are you talking about? Right. Like, cause then you see a painting of them and you go, well, that guy's not black. He's clearly white. Who made this oil painting? It's all made up. And these people make up their lineages and genealogy to claim that they have some rights. You know, all these stories are nonsense when you really go back into it.
I was going to ask you, because that ties in with your Bill Gates latest video. I thought you really dug deep into his lineage and his past. The only other person in the truth community that I've seen do that is Miles Mathis, and he's just busy trying to connect them to Jews, and that seems to be his main focus when he digs deep into the peerage.
Yeah, and I purposely stay away from that because I actually know a lot of Jewish people, and not one of them is trying to take over the world and has a plan.
Yes.
And when you look at the Protocols of Zion, they're the Jesuit reductions of Paraguay that are long before this so-called Protocols of Zion.
Okay.
So, you know, to me, I always ask people, okay, if there's a Jewish conspiracy, why did they rig it so Bernie Sanders, a commie Jew, lost the Democratic primaries to Hillary Clinton if the Jews run the world?
That's right.
Wouldn't you, if there's a conspiracy to make a Jewish world communism, wouldn't you put a communist Jew like Bernie Sanders in the White House? It makes no sense. You know what I mean?
Well, they say they're busy running the movie industry. That's why. Maybe. that's.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not in there, you know, and yeah. Like there's a, you know, people slander Jewish people and say, yeah, they're greedy and like money. And I'm saying, okay, if there's any truth to that, which maybe there is, wouldn't they be the perfect stooges to put as frontmen? Who would you put as a frontman if you were trying to hide in the shadows? You'd want someone who loves money and is good at business, right? So I'm not saying there aren't Jewish people.
Well, they were put in those positions because the Christians weren't allowed to lend money. Isn't that part of it? So they were the only ones allowed to take those positions and lend out the money. As for the
Well, I mean, what's weird is if you look, have you ever seen the documentary White It Out?
No. What's that about?
Well, check that out. It's talking about how the ancient Israelites were blacks.
Okay.
And they you can still find them. They're still around in Africa. They got scattered. Like, this changes history. And this is what I'm saying. Once you get into Tartarian research, you have to rethink all of these dumb stories. Even the Rothschild, you know, like you look at Baron von Rothschild, Mayor Amschel Bauer, he ran a money changing street in what, Frankfurt or whatever, a back street and whatever. Suddenly him and his 16 buddies get together on poker night on Tuesday and come up with a plan to dominate the world. And now he's lending out money to governments and princes and, you know, like Haitian soldiers. And you're like, a backstreet money changer in a small German town had all – where do you get the money? Go down to Edgware Road in London and tell me one of those guys who could finance a government's war. There's no such thing. And then you say, well, who is this guy? And they say, no, his name is Rothschild, which comes from Red Shield. And you say, well, in German, it's Rothschild. It's not even – it's an English spelling of Red Shield. That's not even how a German pronounces that. It's not even the right words for a Red Shield. But then you start looking over in Scotland and you have the House of Roths. Now, they were one of the biggest money influence families in Scotland at the exact same time. And they go suddenly from the sixth Earl, I think the sixth Earl of Roth, to the 8th Earl, and there's no 7th Earl of Roth. He just disappears. At the same time, their enemy takes the kingship in England, and all of a sudden, this guy turns up in Germany with all this money and a world domination plan, and it's the House of Roths, Rothschild, the child of Roths, the 7th Earl of Roths. That whole story is bunk, too, Rothschilds and Red Shields. You know, you think that you know all the Illuminati and Adam Weishaupt. All these stories are nonsense. Oh, the main story and the cover story are nonsense. To keep you looking at that so you don't start looking where Gates and all them come from. Scotland, England, Burke's peerage families, Vatican. You know, everybody is a vassal.
Are those the Venetians and the Phoenicians? How do they tie in?
Well, again, you start looking in and you say, are these stories real or not? You know, mm-hmm. the phonies, the Phoenicians, you start looking and they start turning up in the Americas well before anyone ever got there. You start looking at Columbus. He never landed in North America. I was taught Christopher Columbus landed in America on the Mayflower.
Right. Well, I don't know if he was on the Mayflower. That was okay.
He never did. He never landed in North America. He went to South America and he made it to some of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. He never stepped foot in North America ever.
Right.
Did you know that?
I've heard stories about that. Yeah. I've heard stories about that. What about Amerigo Vespucci? That's what America, that's who America's named after. He founded America, I thought.
Yeah. Then you look at all the Moors who keep claiming, though, no, we weren't brought over on African ships. We were the black people here. Some of the Indian tribes were black, just like the originals. I won't call them aboriginals, the Australian originals. Mm-hmm. They're black. There were black American, what we'd call Indian tribes. There were Negroid races on all the continents.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were there already. They were the ones who built a lot of this technology. And when you talk, I used to have a bandmate who was black who was telling me this stuff 30 years ago, and I used to laugh.
Wow.
But I'm not laughing anymore because I'm like, holy shit, man.
So he was
the more
really...
I start looking into it, he's not lying. It's correct.
Where did he learn all this stuff 30 years
ago?
Well,
they're passing it down through, their families and things, you know. If you look at this whited out, I mean, the whole, you know, everything you think you know, the more you, there's some great research coming out showing that the Old Testament Egypt is in North America, down the Mississippi River, Cairo, Illinois, all the way down. People were saying, well, how could Moses get lost in the desert for 40 years?
That sounds crazy. Now that sounds crazy.
It does sound crazy, but then you go start looking at, if you trace the biblical paths, they all line up exactly up the Mississippi River. You're like, what? So it's, you know, the more you think you know, even if you think you're learning a counter story or a truth narrative, you just don't know. You
Another
know, we
trap.
Have to admit, we don't know. Yeah, the more you start looking, the more you know. I think it's an old saying, you know, the more you know, the more you know, the less you, more you learn, the less you understand.
So you don't buy into the Venetians and the Phoenicians? Did the Venetians control trade and then they moved to London and Jersey and all those areas over there and the Netherlands?
Well, again, when you start looking into books like from Conor McDara and you start looking into why did they get rid of Gaelic? Hold on a second. You start looking at the Hebrew language is phonetically identical to Old Irish and Gaelic. And Indo-Aryan, so that whole starts to look like they came, like there were these Atlanteans coming from Scandinavia, Ireland, England, Atlantic. And then you had these other, black Israelites. You just don't know. You start looking at all these stories and saying, I can't tell you what's true. And they all seem credible, you know. They all. But what I can tell you is anything you read about right now has been purposely written and given to you. And anything that they don't want you to see is sitting down in the Vatican, the Smithsonian, you know, when they say, oh, they burned the Library of Alexandria, it's too bad. You say, nobody burns a library and doesn't take the books first.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, like, they could have at least made a photocopy.
Do you know what I mean? Like, now you know knowledge is power. If you did sack the library, wouldn't you take the books
Absolutely.
For yourself?
That way everyone thought it was lost. And I agree. That would be a good idea. Take a copy.
Yeah, I can see Linda Curtis is saying a great thing. The story of Moses is a metaphor for the legal system. And I've seen that too. And it's also a story for your brain and the Kundalini up the body as well. So there are a lot of different metaphors for this story. But what I'm saying, Linda, is that to me, the Bible is an astrophysiochemical book. But what I'm saying is that the stories they're using to make the comparisons for the mythology may be rooted in some kind of reality. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that the biblical stories are really about Moses or this only, but I'm saying the story itself that they're using for the metaphor may have already been around. That's what I'm saying. That was a great comment that she made in your comment section there.
Linda is definitely with it. She follows IPS and Infinite Plane Society, and she's really in tune with all the research for sure. She's a we have a lot of regular listeners here who really understand everything and more that I talk about. I don't understand half the stuff, so I'm my research interest only goes so far. Just because that's just my level of interest. I have more of a.
She's talking about the Justinian deception. If I get her correctly, she's talking about the fictional legal name and maritime law, this and that. But what I'm saying is, these stories are based on what I think may be remnants of older actual stories. You know, if you're going to base a mythology on something and introduce it to a new society, you would take a story they were already familiar with and rework it. You know what I mean? Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, yes. Well, a lot of the stories are based on the stars and just physical things that never change. Do we agree on that? The stars in the sky and the sun and the moon, they're pretty permanent.
Yeah, and you would, wouldn't you? Because if you were trying to assimilate a culture that was a star culture or a moon cult, you know, their whole mythology or religion is a stellar cult. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're trying to give them a new religion, they're not going to take it or relate to it unless you can make it something that's familiar to them.
Yeah.
So, of course, you hijack their belief system and then rewrite it so that it's still like they're like, oh, I can do this.
It's kind of relatable. I mean, they got to see some physical evidence. There is the stars. If your eyes work, you can see the sun and the moon and the stars. And these are things that people need an explanation for. So if your explanation is different, it better accommodate all these things that we see.
Yeah, exactly.
You can make up stories about what's past the stars or what we can't see all you want. Of course, that's what they're doing now. They're making up stories of microspace, which is our bodies, which we can't really verify anything other than a few symptoms here and there.
Yeah, well, that's virology in a nutshell, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get to virology and they say, oh, yeah, we're trying cytopathic effect, that particle is invading that cell and then it's making copies and killing it.
Yeah.
It's like showing you a picture of a guy standing outside his door with a key in his hand. And you say, is that guy coming home and opening the door or is he leaving and about to lock it?
That's right.
You don't know because it's a still photo.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't.
You know, yeah. And just to even take that photograph. You know, not only did they have to destroy the entire cell culture and starve it and poison it with amphotericin, gentamicin, trypsin, phenol red, whatever else they did. But, you know, then just to prepare the damn thing for the electron microscope, because it's so hot, you know, it's 300 Fahrenheit. They've got to do fixation and put it in formalin or formaldehyde, glutathione. They've got to put it in preservatives. Then they dehydrate it with alcohol baths or ethanol or
acetone. You sound like you do this yourself. You know all the words and the terms. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, then they bed it in like a mold, like resin and stuff, you know, and then they slice it thin and stick it under a thing and smash it between two glass plates. Like, what does that do to tissue?
Amazing.
And then they go, oh, there it is. There's the picture. We see it. And you're like, what? And then they stain it because it's an electron microscope. They use, I think it's uranium, uranium and lead. I can't remember. Urine.
Do you even believe the electron microscope exists? Because why wouldn't? Do you think it's a real thing? Because why wouldn't technology have improved over the years so we could all have our own high-end electron microscope? Because we all have these supercomputers in our hands now that would have filled up a building a long time ago. So why?
Well, Tracy will tell you that. Go look into Gaston Naissance. This guy, Gaston Naissance, I can't remember. He's early 1900s, I think. He made better than an electron microscope. He had what he called a light.
The light
something
microscope?
With light and mirrors. They still don't know how he built it, and they still can't build it today. It was better than an electron microscope.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? You're like, where did that thing go?
Yeah, why don't we have that?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm very suspicious of the electron microscope. I put it in the category of these super telescopes that nobody can use except the Vatican.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is when you look under an electron, what they claim is one,
mm-hmm.
you're just seeing artifacts. You're not seeing what really happens in a living being.
Right.
and they have never once pulled the boogers or snot or whatever out of a human being and found these particles they claim they call viruses. The particles are real. We've seen pictures of them, but they've never found one inside a human being without sticking it on monkey cells, starving it, poisoning it. You know, I've even got some of the studies here where that shows why they do it and how it's a fraud, and they admit it in their own literature, you know. So you got to say, well, how come you've never seen this particle until you do all that crap in the Petri dish and then do all this crap to stick it under the microscope? And then you go, oh, yeah, well, there's the particle, and you say, ooh. You know, but they've never even isolated it. And they've isolated, IBM is making circuits now 2 nanometers wide to put on them to these nanochips. And virologists are saying, oh, yeah, but we can't isolate coronavirus because it's 50 to 200 nanometers. You're like, what? How can IBM make a circuit 2 nanometers? What are you talking about? Like, what happens if they drop the chip? They can't find it? Of course they can.
Yeah, it makes me wonder about the virus isolation, if that's a bit of a red herring as well, because they're really promoting it right now in the alternative media. So I don't know if it's because people like Steve Kirsch have put their attention to it, but it makes me wonder, because he argues that it's not important to isolate the virus. He's okay with the idea that it's a virus isolate, where the virus is within all this crap that they're saying is causing disease, but it just makes me wonder if it's another time sink where they're drawing us into this argument that they know we can't win, or they can't prove that kind of thing.
Well, they can't win it. You know, that's the thing. What, for me, too many people get stuck on this thing, the isolation of the virus and all that. It's highly important. For me, the physical evidence is go back to the Rosenau experiments in 1918.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got 100 sick people with allegedly this contagious Spanish flu.
Right.
And they've got them breathing, hot, spitting, kissing. They're injecting their boogers into people. They're rubbing swabs from their eyes.
Yeah.
Not once did one person get sick. They tried it with horses. They did the same thing in the 50s with polio. The American Medical Association did it on orphans and prisoners with polio people. Same exact thing. Not once in the history of the world has anyone ever taken someone who's sick with an alleged virus disease and rubbed, injected their juice into anyone. Never, never made anyone sick. Frazier, Waite, Powell, they were bacteriologists taking bacterias out of people, even anaerobic bacterias, which poop highly toxic stuff that cause sepsis and can kill you, and inject those bacterias into people, and nothing happened to them. Because it's not the bacteria that are dangerous, it's the poop from 2% of anaerobic bacteria that are dangerous. Just like I can eat you if I'm a cannibal. I don't eat your poo. You know what I mean? I don't eat the poo in your colon. I can cook and eat you.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the whole joke with bacteria, is there's 2% of them can morph from aerobic, meaning oxygen. That's mm-hmm. why we do aerobics. It means oxygen. Mm-hmm. So living tissue has oxygen, and most bacteria live in that. When your tissue's dying like a corpse, or mm-hmm. like if a car runs your arm over and it's not going to heal, it's squished to death.
Yeah.
Right? Then 2% of your bacteria can change their entire biochemistry to eat they can live in non-oxygen and eat dead, rotting flesh that has no oxygen. Now, it's not the bacteria that's poisonous, it's their poo.
Right.
So this is what gangrene is when it sets in and you got a flesh-eating virus, right?
Okay.
Your tissue is dead, so you didn't catch a flesh-eating virus. Something destroyed something in your tissue that isn't going to grow back, like a truck ran your arm over and flattened it. It's dead.
Right.
The reason they cut your arm off right then and there is because the bacteria in your arm will turn anaerobic and start eating that dead flesh, and they're going to poop in your bloodstream and give you sepsis and
right.
kill you.
Oh, okay.
So they cut your arm off because those bacteria are going to start crapping toxins into your bloodstream, and that's going to kill you. But people think you caught a flesh-eating virus or bacteria. You didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Your bacteria became flesh eaters because your flesh is dead. And when you die and they bury you in a grave, your bacteria, 2% of them inside your corpse in the grave, will turn anaerobic and they will eat your corpse. That's their job. But if you take those bacteria out of a person who's suffering gangrene and inject them into you and you have oxygen, they will change their biochemistry right back to an aerobic bacteria, and you'll be fine.
Now, going back 100 years, what is that test called? The ROAR? What is it? That test where they're taking the...
Dr. Rosenau.
Rosenau, okay.
I can show it to you real quick. You won't be able to read it, but I can actually show you. I'm going to share my screen again.
PJ is asking, can you ask him if he can share his scientific or unscientific documents with us?
Yeah, are you going to do like a show note?
I'm not sure what he's talking about, but...
I think he means the ones I was talking about, the studies. Is that what he means?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I definitely have show notes, so if you want to shoot me any links, that's fine.
We can either do that. I'll show you the Rosenau study right now. I have it in here. So here we go. Can you see this?
Yeah. Maybe make it as big as possible.
I'll try. I mean, I'm not going to sit and read it, but I'll just show you I have the study here, right?
And I want to ask you before I forget about Riche and anaphylaxis. Yeah. You probably know about that.
Yeah, Tracy and I talk a lot about that. Yeah, Riche, he got his Nobel Prize for that.
Was that legit, you think, or real?
Yeah, anaphylaxis. Yeah, definitely. And I do think that's what, like, vaccine-induced peanut allergies and things like this are. And I think quite a lot of people dropping from this jab, there could be some kind of protein in these jabs that were in former flu shots or some kind of vaccines, you know, or maybe I don't know, but I think there are people who have been exposed to a certain protein before, and this is just taking them out.
Well, I was always told, because I have a severe egg allergy that showed up after my first year of vaccinations.
And there probably was egg protein in those vaccines because they were putting stuff like that into some of those. That you probably took a vaccine that had an egg-based protein in it. Certainly.
I think, Fauci said they still use egg proteins for vaccinations, so I'm sure they're still doing it. My point is, I was told never to take a vaccine again because of that. I was told that.
Yeah, because you'll get anaphylaxis. And you saw during COVID, I put this in, it was Once Were the Living, actually, my film from 2020. The vaccine centers and hospitals were being instructed to get EpiPens, which is for anaphylaxis, and they were told don't lock them in the cabinets. The new protocols were to keep the EpiPens out
right by the
bed because they were expecting everyone to get anaphylaxis at the vaccination centers.
Right.
So they made a new protocol saying you can't even have the EpiPens locked up. And then if you remember, there was a scandal. Remember, Biden did something with all these EpiPens, and then that guy, they were trying to, quadruple the price of them.
Yeah, that was a while ago, yeah.
Well, it was just before these vaccines came out in 2020, because they knew everyone was going to get anaphylaxis at the injection sites. So they raised the price.
Whatever happened to that? Did that...
Are people they getting... sold them to governments for tons of cash, and they're using them right now on people dropping with anaphylaxis.
Oh, you think so? Do you think people are getting anaphylactic shocks all over or shots all over the place during these?
I think a lot of the people you see dropping either within 3 minutes to 15 minutes, like that nurse who died, Tiffany Dover. Right. Remember her? She was the first one who died, and they said she didn't die. But she's totally dead.
You think that was real?
Yeah, because you go on her Facebook page right now, and her last post was that one with like hundreds of thousands of people on there going,
they can fake social media accounts. That's
I want to show you this, though. Is my screen on still or not?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, I want to show you this because the one I wanted?
I can't. Yeah. We can't really see it, but you can.
Yeah, I'm going to make it bigger. So the modern virology, I'm sure Tracy has talked about Enders a lot. This is the father of modern virology, right? He's the guy who does the cell cultures that we still do today. We, the virologists, not me, you know, using the green monkey kidney cells and all that, right? This procedure where I take your boogers, put them on these kidney cells, monkey kidney cells, starve them, add the antibiotics, right?
Okay.
Well, he did this study, and it's a measles study. He actually did a control experiment where he took a person with measles and a person without measles, And he did the same thing. He put the tissue on the same monkey kidney cells, starved it, you know, and then added all the antibiotics. And he did the same thing to both. And he said that the results were indistinguishable. You can't, they're both made cytopathic effect, meaning virus particles. The cells broke down into virus particles. Now, the joke is, if you're trying to prove that the guy coming in the door with the key, is he leaving or going, right? If the whole point of your experiment is to prove that the virus particle they're showing us is going into the cell and then multiplying and then destroying the cell,
right?
And that that particle isn't actually just garbage from a destroyed cell, then why would you use cells and a drug that kills cells, that breaks down cells, right? So I don't, should I blow this up more or can you see
sure,
this?
Sure. Yeah, blow it up.
How do I do this? Tools, adjust size. Let me just make
usually,
it.
Usually
like,
control and bigger. Plus sign makes the PDF bigger.
Oh yeah, here we go. Command, here we go.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, that's good. You got command, we got control.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can see my cursor
good.
Top
that's
the
good.
Yellow top left. He says this study had shown that presumably, very sure wording, right, for a scientist, uninfected monkey kidney cultures degenerated, and therefore the fluorescent antibody technique was used to aid in the recognition of infected cultures. Monkey kidney cells, however, are unsuitable for investigations of the type reported here. Right. So he's saying you can't use monkey kidney cells in a virology culture because it showed that monkeys and cell cultures derived from them. Now, he's going by germ theory. So this is another guess, are often infected with an agent serologically indistinguishable from a human measles virus, which causes cytopathic changes, meaning the cells to break down into these virus particles. In monkey kidney cell cultures, almost identical with those caused by human measles virus. In other words, when he used a human with no measles and put it on monkey kidney tissues and it broke down into virus particles, just like the person with measles, he said, oh, monkeys must have their own virus that's indistinguishable from the human measles virus, which is why the other thing came out looking the same.
Amazing.
See what he's saying? He's not saying, oh no, the antibiotics and the amphotericin and gentamicin and phenol red that we added broke down the tissue. Now you're saying, why would you use the chemicals they use are kidney nephrotoxins. They destroy kidney tissue and break them down into particles.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you take kidney tissues and then use a chemical that breaks down kidney tissues into particles to prove that the particles killed the cell? See, and at the right, he says, at the present time, it's not known whether the virus can, it seems likely on the right here now that measles virus spreads from cell to cell, both via nutrient cell to adjacent cell.
Seems likely,
sorry,
more
I'm looking for this. Sorry, it's this one I'm looking for. So you say, well, why did you use monkey cells, right? Up in the top right here.
Yeah.
He says, in our studies, the developmental cycles of measles virus cell was appreciably shorter than in human amnion cells in the former, therefore are more convenient than the latter. So what he's saying is, we tried this on human cells and it took too long. The chemicals didn't break down the human cells.
Wow.
So we tried it on monkey cells and it broke them down quicker. That's why they used
them. They were in a rush.
See what I mean? Then he goes on to say, but we can't use monkey cells because we can't tell the difference whether we have a virus or not.
When is that study? When was that done? How is that an old one?
1958 or 9. I think that's John Ender's measles experiment. Now I've got another one here.
Doesn't this sounds like a little bit about like the virus or sorry, the vaccine controls? Where they use the same adjuvants in the control and the regular vaccine, and so they put the I can't remember exactly how it worked, but the point was that they use the same adjuvants in both the control and the actual live vaccine, and when so doesn't really, so they say they have to do that to, I don't know, but the point is the adjuvants are what causes all the damage, I think.
Well, all, I mean, you have,
you know what I'm talking about? I'm not explaining it right.
Yeah, well, there is no such thing as a live vaccine. Like, what they mean is a vaccine is this. We call it a cell culture is dead, rotting flesh.
Okay.
Let's call it what it is. It's dead, rotting flesh from a monkey that died a long time ago. And now we've got his dead, rotting kidneys. And sometimes they take fetal kidneys from an aborted fetus. So we got that dead flesh.
Okay.
So you have dead, rotting flesh. Now we put some milk in there, which is dead, rotting flesh from cow pus. Then we add some bovine calf serum, which is broth, which is dead, rotting flesh from a cow, baby cow. So you got all, and then you got your boogers in there if they even put them in. So now you got dead rotting flesh from bacteria, fungus, human, cow, baby cow, monkeys, right? And then you starve that even more so they start dying more, and then you poison them with antibiotics, phenol red, amphotericin. That's what a vaccine is they take that then and inject it into you, and they add some adjuvants.
Wow.
They add some more heavy metals and some mercury, thimerosal, formaldehyde.
Anything to get a reaction from your body.
Well, they claim they put the other poisons in there to hurt you so bad that you'll make antibodies.
Right.
But that's nonsense too. There's, you know, I said that in the last movie, like they say antibodies are specific, and you say, well, if that's true, wouldn't I make an antifreeze or formaldehyde antibody for the formaldehyde you put in me?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you just inject me with what's in the cell culture if I need that antibody?
Right, right.
And that's nonsense. We know antibodies are really just, they're chemical-based glues that when you're poisoned, they come to the site to glue the holes in the dying cells from the poisoning.
Yeah, that's the first time I heard that from you. That's interesting.
Now, they always say, oh, we find these antibodies around these virus particles, which are dead cell debris. And you say, yeah. Well, if that cell is dying and now it's kicking off little fractions of dead cell debris, the antibodies may or may not attach to that debris to help glue them back onto where they just came from.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a surprise you would find antibodies in the area of these particles if they even exist. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it's not that they come and attach to viruses so they can be removed.
Well, that's body repairing itself.
Yeah, and they've changed the temperature and added detergents and things, and they've got those proteins they call antibodies. They've made them so they don't actually attach to, they don't glue anything. So they say they can do that, but they've also done it under controlled experiments where they don't. See, so you can't, and they're not specific. That's why people used to take these HIV antibody tests, and there was like 26 different things that could kick a false positive because they're not specific. There's not an HIV that doesn't exist, but you know, an antibody can bind to 20, 30, 40, maybe hundreds. I don't know. I've never seen any experiments. They can bind all kinds of things depending on the temperature, the acidity. Yeah. So I've got another paper I just want to show people here about fetal calf serum, which is another thing they add into cell cultures. Rotting tissue cultures of monkeys, right? So this paper talks about fetal calf serum contamination acknowledged in literature. They say that in the yellow highlight, can you see it or should I blow it up more?
A little more. That's
is that
great.
Right?
Oh, that's great.
FBS, fetal bovine serum. So this is broth from a dead cow. Associated RNA, meaning the RNA material that's the fragments of RNA floating around in the broth they use, is co-isolated with cell culture derived extracellular RNA and interferes with the downstream RNA analysis. Meaning when virologists are looking to put all these broken down RNA fragments together to their fake template, they're admitting that they're finding RNA from the bovine calf serum. They're admitting that they know that it's in the particles they are claiming came from a virus.
Oh, boy.
Many evolutionally conserved FBS, fetal bovine serum-derived RNA, can be falsely annotated as human or mouse transcripts. See, they're telling you, we don't know if it's from you or from the bovine serum or the monkey.
Or a mouse.
Or a mouse. So furthermore, FBS transcripts can be taken up by cultured cells, meaning they admit when they put it in, the cells in the culture soak up these little fragments and affect the results of highly sensitive gene expression profiling technologies. In other words, we know damn well we stick this fetal bovine serum into this culture. Everything soaks it up, and then we pick it up with our little PCRs, and then when we run the simulation, it's part of the thing. You know, we're claiming we found a virus genome, which we made up, but they're admitting that they're finding part of the genome is from the fetal bovine serum. It's in their own literature. They just admit this shit.
They tell us they're lying. They tell us they don't really know what they're doing, but it doesn't even matter because no one in the world besides you and a few other people are ever going to get this deep into it. Or even know it.
No, I totally agree with you. And that's why, as I said, I'll show you the last one I want to show you, because a lot of people hear Dr. Cowan and Kaufman talking about these papers.
Okay.
But no one's ever seen them. So I want to show people I have these papers. I've read them.
Where'd you get them?
That's why I said to you before, what's more important to me is to show them the Rosenau studies and the American Medical Association studies with the polio to say, hey, in real life, you know, forget about these cell cultures. They've tried to take people sick with what you claim are highly contagious viruses.
Yes.
Wipe their eye fucking mucus into you and check.
That's why I wonder if the whole virus isolation is a red herring. I think in a way.
Yeah. Now here's the second part of that paper I just read you talking about what a scam that all was. They admit alternatively the viral like inclusions, so they're talking about the particles we call viruses, could represent microvesicular bodies containing exosomes. I don't know if you and Tracy have talked about those before.
A little bit.
They're the same size as viruses, and they come out of dying cells to go talk to other cells about certain things. Mm. Those two, by the way, have been isolated by John Hopkins. Exosomes are smaller than virus particles and have been isolated fully and had a full genome run. So when a virologist tells you that we can't isolate virus particles because they're too small, that's bullshit. Exosomes are half the size of them, and they've isolated and run the full genome, so that's crock. Oh. Now, our virologists told that in school, and they just are repeating that. They might not know that IBM makes 2 nanometer part of, you know, they might not know this, but that's what they repeat. Anyway, so they're saying it could represent microvesicular bodies, these little virus particles, containing exosomes before their release onto the cellular surface. So they're saying we don't know if it's a virus or an exosome. The podocytic origin of these exosomes is confirmed by the presence of proteins typical in the blah, 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 blah. Hang on. Cytoplasmic. Yeah, hang on.
Where did you find this? Sorry.
These are papers that I actually heard them from Tom Cowan, so I went and looked them up and found them.
Okay.
So they're telling you right here they can't tell the difference. They find these little podocytes in patients with COVID-19, and they say they could lead to the mistaken assumption that they represent virions, which are the little spike protein bulbs thing, right? And they're telling you the size. They're between 30 and 150 nanometers. That's the size they claim SARS-CoV-2 is, these particles, which fall within the size range. So they're telling you we don't actually know the difference between an exosome and a coronavirus, by the way. The potential for confusion of coronavirus particles with normal cellular components was in fact highlighted in a detailed ultrastructural study done by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention of SARS-CoV responsible for the 2003 SARS outbreak. So they said they already knew in 2003 they can't tell the difference between a coronavirus and normal cellular breakdown. So the authors recommend that in clinical specimens, the viral nature should be confirmed by other, you know, other ways. And they say the recognition of this pitfall of mistaking virus-like particles for regular cell debris dates back to the 1970s when they found them in people with liver problems. So they're telling you, we can't tell the difference between a virus particle and dead cell debris, or even an exosome for that matter. And we've known it since the 1970s, and so has the CDC. And so how can you take this?
And nothing's improved, and it's 2022.
Yeah. And the other guy whose technique we used, using monkey kidney cells, said we can't use monkey kidney cells because we can't tell the difference if it's the monkey cell or the like, what?
Oh,
you know what I mean? It's like, how are you still doing all this if you don't know it, if you can't tell that they admit it? It's not conspiracy theory or anything like that. It's them
saying
it.
It's hidden in plain sight. It's hidden in plain sight, isn't it?
But as you said, who's going to take the time to read these papers?
Well, and I've listened to Tom Cowan and Tom Coffin, Andrew Coffin. And even I'm exhausted by their discussion now. I got the main idea. I don't really need to get into the minutia of it because I've got all I need from them. I think they're right. But getting into any more minutia doesn't help me because I'm still being, my society's still being closed in and led over a cliff. We have to almost think, okay, well, are they worth putting any more energy to, or is there anyone else, like you said, where we can show this other experiment where you rub the cow pus or the pus of a sick person into a healthy person, it doesn't make them sick. Should we spend our energy on that? Because the controllers are always burning our energy and time because they know that's all we've got, and they know we're kind of running out of time in so many ways. So,
I agree with you. You're at the crux of the whole matter. Fuck virology and all that. The crux of the matter is, I can't remember who said it. Somebody said, if you have a golf ball size consciousness and you read a book, you will take away a golf ball size understanding of that book. And if you have an ocean size consciousness, the same book, you'll take away an ocean size understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And people, what the controllers do is they make people put a box around their head of what is possible. Right? They got this tiny little box and it looks just the same shape as their TV and their newspaper usually.
Mm-hmm.
So if what is really going on in the world is outside of what they even think is possible, there is no way in hell they're going to sit down. You can show them all these papers I just showed you. The people who watch your show know this. So I'm probably just preaching to the choir here. I know that. There's probably not a muggle sitting on your chat board who didn't hear all this already. So,
well, it's okay. You can explain it.
You know, so there's no point, like you're, I agree with you. I can sit down with anyone's grandma or anyone who's scared walking around in three masks and in their car while they're driving. I can show them all this. And because they don't believe it's possible that I know something that their trusted doctors don't know, they won't get it. They simply won't understand it. Would you agree with that?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. It just, I can't even get past 5 minutes with most people. If I can't get my message to someone in 5 minutes and they can digest it and either accept it or reject it, then the 6 minutes a waste of time.
Yeah.
It really is. And they know, they write the headlines just for that reason, and the body of the story may contradict the headline, but they know people don't read past the headline. These are all... This is what we said earlier, that the psychologists study all this stuff. They know that the details are unimportant, and it's just the perception.
Well, one of the favorite things they do is they know, like, if your building's on fire and everyone's running frantically out in the hallways, and anyone who acts like they know what's going on, they'll follow them.
Right.
They know this. They know this is general human psychology. Everyone's confused, so they just follow the guy who looks like he or she knows what's going on, even if that person leads them upstairs into a flat that's on fire.
Right, yeah.
Right in. That's what they're doing. They're doing ordo ab chao, order out of chaos. They've got it's by design that Fauci comes on the TV 2 days later. Masks work. Masks don't work. This works. Now it's the boosters. No, they'll be fine without the – you know. And people keep saying, make up your mind. He's doing it on purpose. It's all carefully scripted.
Well, they want to make it seem like this situation is so fluid that you just have to trust them, that they're making these on-the-fly decisions based on the latest data. And because even they can't get a handle on it, you're just going to have to trust them that these flip-flops are necessary because the situation is changing so rapidly. This is such a dangerous situation. This virus is here, it's there, it's flipping, it's changing. You got to just let me hold your hand and I'll just lead you.
Totally. And nothing's changing. There's nothing different from day one till now. So they make – did you notice like first the World Health Organization was the villain? Do you remember that? They were playing the villain. And Fauci was the good guy. And all of a sudden Fauci's flip-flopping around talking nonsense, confusing everyone. Well, what is it? And suddenly they came out, the World Health Organization was contradicting him. Yeah, do you notice how they do that? They make one guy the villain and one guy the good guy. And
they're still doing it, The WHO is saying, the WHO has been saying for a long time, lockdowns are not required, they're overreactions.
The masks work, they don't work, you know. They're doing this on purpose because they want you to give up and go, I don't even know what to believe anymore. I'll just do what you tell me because I'll take the jab. Because I can't make up my own mind because I've got the same guys telling me five different things every other week. They're beating you down so that you just get frustrated and follow the government.
And
that's all they're doing.
And this is psychological warfare as well, of course.
Absolutely. And it's working clearly.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to submit, but then, you know, I even check my own pulse and say, am I still breathing here? Am I going to fall for this? Because it's been 2 years of just beating down. I've got my own children under my careful watch and I'm careful not to repeat the same thing a million times. But on the other hand, I know they're getting the other side a million times. So I'm trying to make it clear that, okay, don't forget guys, we still can't go to the movies because you're still not going to get this injection, right? They're adults now, but they live with me. But it's definitely
difficult.
And so you
don't. If it means not going to the movies, you know, a lot of people are like, why don't you just take the injection and shit? You're like, even if these injections weren't poison, let's say I didn't know about the nanotech and the toxins in there.
Right.
Let's say I didn't even know any of that was in there. I know there's no such thing as pathogenic viruses. Why would I take a medicine for something that doesn't exist?
I couldn't,
you know, whether I don't give a fuck what's in the injection. I'm not stupid. I'm not going to take, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm not sick. Why would I take medicine when I'm not sick? That's retarded.
Just to go to the movies
or just to keep a
job that I hate. Although you need the job to keep the money, make the money so you can buy the food that you may not be able to buy, get into. I mean, they really are closing in the box on people. There's no doubt about it. And
yeah. And the other problem you got to watch with people too, you know, I don't know when you woke up, I imagine probably a long time
2012.
Ago,
I woke up in 2012. This is my 10th anniversary this year. So I'm kind of new.
What happened? How'd that happen? What woke you up?
Well, I just started looking into the IRS, and that led me to Alex Jones. And then I have always been a news junkie. And when I heard there was another story to the 9/11 story, I never even considered that there's another side of the story. I really didn't. I had no idea. Now, they found all these documentaries that he had on there, and I started watching them, and it just, that was the beginning of the unraveling of the yarn for me. And I just haven't.
I think Loose Change woke a lot of people up.
Yeah, I watched that too. I watched all of that. My 9/11, and I was going to ask you, we're running into the third hour though, so you probably want to go cut it off in a bit.
I'm okay. I'll go as long as you want to go, man. It's your show, but it's only 11:20, so I can go longer. I'm having a nice chat if you want.
Yeah, I'm having a great time.
Okay, great. Yeah, let's
I'm just not sure how long I can go without taking a rest break or a food break. But yeah, about another 20 minutes would be great. Actually, that'll bring it up to about 3 hours.
Great.
And you can come back anytime because you have so much knowledge that I haven't even heard of half this stuff, so I'm sure you could explain a million things a million times.
I'd love to come on with Tracy one time together, actually.
Tracy's
because
great.
You know, she and I are funny. She says we're psychically linked. I'll be making a movie, and she doesn't know what it's about, and she's writing an article, and we'll release them on the same day, and they're about the exact same thing, actually, from two sides.
So we sync up
like that quite a lot. But what I was saying is, you know, so people like you and me, I woke up around 2010.
Oh, wow. What woke you up?
You know, as you know, back then, everyone was calling you a tinfoil hat and crazy. And there's no New World Order, even though George Bush Sr. is on TV telling you there is. And so now people are going to get a 5-minute red pill. And we had 10 years to get used to it. You know, like we had a long time to get over all the weirdness. So what I say to people is I say, look, when a farmer sows his or her field, they don't throw the seeds in the ground, water it, and then stand there for 6 months yelling at the seeds going, grow, 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 right?
Yeah.
You put the seeds in, you water them, you get the hell out of there, and they'll grow. And it's too much for me of the truth movement is screaming at all these muggles and sleeples and zombies and sheep and saying, you got to wake up, you got to wake up. And they won't give them a break. And as you know, it's better like when you feel like you find, you know, when someone finds one of my movies, they feel like they found it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? No one forced them to sit down and watch that movie. They feel like they found something and they maybe researched what I'm saying. I never tell anyone that what I'm saying is true or not. I'm saying here, you know, disclaimer. You see my movies. I disclaimer all the time.
Yeah.
So you have to like, you cannot force this shit down people's throats or they will freak out and run away. And I think the truth movement does that too much. They're too much invested in the people who aren't awake yet. And I'm like, fuck them. Invest in the people who are awake and plant the seeds and get out of there. If, you know, as you, if they're not going to get it after 5 minutes of sitting down and aren't even interested, why are you wasting your energy with that person?
Yeah, you just can't.
Get out of there. Ask them a question and then get out of there. You know, like we need to worry about each other. We have enough people awake right now. We don't need 10 billion or 5 billion or 8. Well, I don't even think there's 7 billion people on the planet.
No, me neither. Well, you know, it's shrinking fast. I don't think, there's a lot of people reproducing in the last 2 years, just the stress. And I think they're going to get their population drop, at least in the Western world.
Yeah, I traveled the world for a year straight, you know, through India and in Southeast Asia. And
oh, wow.
I, there's no way they've been through those jungles and deserts with a census. They don't know how many people. They have no idea how many people are alive. I've been to some places. I'm like, you telling me you know how many people live in this village in the jungle? Fuck off. They don't know anything.
No, I know. It could be half. It could be half or even less. I agree with you.
Who knows, you know? But my point anyway is like, if you look at the protests kicking off worldwide, there are millions or hundreds of thousands, or every city is filled with at least tens of thousands in every pissed off city. There's enough of us already. We don't need any more people awake. We have plenty.
Everyone is confused and everyone is scattered. There's no cohesion and there's no consensus. There's no similar level of knowledge. We're like, you know, way more about different things than I do. And I know way more than, say, someone else in my house, for instance. And I know that none of the people in my house, for instance, want to know any more. They've had enough. There's no way I can bring any of this stuff up because they're at their limit. They're at their tolerance. They don't need any more. They don't want any more. And even though I'm
too much, you know what I mean? Like, it is too much to have the farmer standing there yelling at you, grow, 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 grow. It's annoying. We call it a bugaboo, you know, where I'm from. Like, you do, like, fuck off, mate. Leave me alone, you know. And I think we need to do that. Sow the seeds and then get out of there and give it a chance to grow. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, if a crop doesn't grow, it doesn't grow.
Yeah.
We
can't even tell the next step to these people. It's way more than the vaccines. It's the digital passports that are going to control all our behavior. That to me is the next stage end game. I know you've got way more past that, but to me the next danger is when they get us under their digital control, where we can't do this, we can't go here, we can't spend this, we can't have that, we can't, and they implement all their agenda 2030 over the next 10 years. That's the real danger. If people could see that, would they still be okay that, okay, maybe they'll take a third, a fourth, because the first three or two didn't hurt them?
Well, you're right. Like, I'm not past that. I'm right where you are. We all know this is about, you know, my friend Max Egan, he's been saying for 15 years to people, throw out your smart devices and phones, because that's getting you tracked and getting you used to using digital, you know. But what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter if you have a smartphone. The whole point of these injections is so that even if we all throw out our smartphones, you're going to be the smartphone.
Yeah.
These people are giving off UPC codes, and not just Bluetooth. You know, some of these people have a UPC number in the chip in their arm. You're like, that's for like broccoli and canned soup at the supermarket and candy bars.
Would I be able to find that on TikTok?
You're not supposed to have one.
Because I've seen the spoon sticking to shoulders, but is anyone on TikTok, which apparently is where the young people do their research, taking video or taking Bluetooth scans of people's arms, or somehow scanning the UPC code that was in your last movie?
Yeah, quite a lot. And I'll tell you, like, I'm not going to say her name because, anyway, a girlfriend of mine.
Yeah. On TikTok?
She was working in an office, and it was an office out of a home. Okay. So it wasn't a building. So she was there all day long, and then the other two or three people would come in and out. But it's basically her there alone and sometimes these others, right? So she and I have been talking about this for many, many, many months. So she turned her Bluetooth on, and she was just checking it out and would wait. And there were no unknown Bluetooth devices when they were gone. And anytime one of them walked through the door or two of them, her Bluetooth would light up. They were jabbed, obviously. She's not.
Yeah.
And as soon as they'd leave, their Bluetooth would go away. So there's no other thing. And they weren't, you know, a Bluetooth, as I said in the film, it has a device name, so you know which Bluetooth do you want to hook up to, right? When you turn on your Bluetooth.
I use Bluetooth all the time, and I have Bluetooth problems all the time with devices. For instance, one Bluetooth will, when I go from my truck to my car, the car will take the Bluetooth away from my phone, and I can never get it back because it's so aggressive. It's crazy.
Yeah, it wants the closest.
Well, it wants the strongest, actually, because if I'm in my truck and the car Bluetooth wakes up, it keeps taking it. The only way I can stop it from taking it is either turn off the car or to forget the Bluetooth. Like, you can go to the Bluetooth settings of your phone and say forget it so it won't pair with it. Once you unpair it, then that's the only way it'll stop connecting. But as to your theory, I have tons of I look at my Bluetooth all the time, and because I have so many different devices. And if you're in your car, or in a parking lot, your idea is not going to work, because it's going to pick up many car Bluetooths and earphone Bluetooth all around you, and it's good for about 25 to 50 feet. That's my only problem with that. So if somebody walks by with a Bluetooth headset, it will show up on my phone, usually, just so you know. So you'd have to get everyone to take all their Bluetooth devices, make sure they're off, before you could run your little test to see if they are transmitting it from their body.
Well, that's like you saw in the film. The French team did that with the people in the field.
Oh, okay.
And that other guy in there, he was in a parking lot where there was a Ford EcoSport and then his headphones. And then when he walked in the building, I had to edit the film, so it was 15 minutes long, the whole clip. But when he walked in the building, the Ford EcoSport was there, and then it went away as he got through the door. But then the 12 people in the lobby turned up the 12 unidentified Bluetooth devices. So you're saying, what is this? Now you're right. Like, this isn't for some general long range scanner, but the question is, why is it there? Is it for when you go to the grocery store, you know, is this for a future close range scan?
Yeah.
And what's more worrying than, well, the Bluetooth is worrying because they give off massive radiation, which is what we talked about earlier with shedding. I don't believe there is, but what's more worrying is that some people have a universal product code in their arm, a UPC number, which is a barcode.
Yes, and we see. I've seen those videos of the people in Sweden.
That's another thing.
Yeah, that's a little rice chip that I think they were showing. That they said 3,000 people in Sweden have them to open up the little cabinets for their drinks and take their money out of their account and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, the injected, some of them have these, you know, some people have a UPC code. Now, you have to say, is that informed consent? You know, if you're vaccinated or whatever, was anyone ever told that you have a UPC chip injected in your arm or Bluetooth coming out of your body? That's not informed consent.
No, of course not. I don't know if that's happening where I am. Do you think it's happening in Denmark?
I think it's happening all over, you know, and the magnetism. I don't think that all the jabs all have all the technology at one time. So I think there are some people who are getting updates. That's what's going on with the jabs. And definitely there are there's a lot of videos. People have been going on VAERS. There's certain batch numbers of these vaccines that are they're doing most of the deaths are coming out of these certain batches. So I think some of these batches are just a kill. And I think the technology updates are coming in some. They can't put everything in everyone right away.
No, and it's a massive experiment. So they've got to be trying different things in different places all the time, I would think.
Yeah, because you can't kill everyone right away or everyone starts turning up with Bluetooth or else everyone will get the word will get out and they'll say, no, nobody will take one anymore. You know, they're going to get out.
They must have at least. I've heard there's 1 in 20 are the clot shots, but yeah, I think it's more like 1 in 200, but I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I can't say either. I've never done any research. I've seen different doctors and different whistleblowers claiming that there's 3 batches and then those are divided in 22 or something, you know, between them of these lot numbers with different ones. But that was only, I think, Pfizer. You know, we got to remember that right now I think there's 4 main ones, but there's going to be something like 15 or 20 other companies coming in on this. You know, and then they can go to flu shots. They can go to anything, really. You know, this is not just COVID. It's this technology can be in everything. That's the problem is we're not just talking about COVID. You know, it's Marburg, SPARS, whatever they come out with next. It's going to be the same thing or flu shots.
What? So in 2010, you woke up. What did you say woke you up? What got you?
Well, actually, 9/11. A friend of mine told me about 9/11 and said, "Did you see this Loose Change documentary?" I think it was that, and another one was telling me about, you know, now I don't believe in it, but there was something like an alien disclosure project. You know, all these people saying aliens. So I started like, what? So I started looking at some of this stuff, and I didn't believe any of it, and I started getting deeper and deeper and going down all the rabbit holes everyone does. You start getting into the Justinian deception with the birth certificates and maritime law, and you find David Icke and Jordan, you know, same thing we all do. And you spend years wading through all the garbage and falling into different pit holes and in and out, you know, and it all starts, the more you start learning, you start realizing that everything's connected. You start saying, every time I research something, it keeps bringing me back to this central theme, which is actually Agenda 21, Agenda 2030.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Codex Alimentarius with the food, everything you do, it leads you back to this same central theme. And you're like, something is going on here. So that's what it was for me. You know, mine was a very gradual one. And unfortunately, very early, I was going down all the false flag rabbit holes that are there to distract you. And screaming too much to people, you know, and then you're wrong and you have to go, oh, shit. And then you sound like discredited, you know, because people say, well, you said this and that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you said same thing David Icke gets. And because most people don't understand logical fallacies. So they're like, well, David Icke said it's lizard people and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, yeah, he did. And I believe he believes that. And I believe he was fed that information by people. And some people believe it, too. I don't. But some do. But either way, whether he said lizard people or not, he's been telling you about Agenda 21 for 15 years in a Hunger Games society. You know, I'd say everything he said besides the lizard people, which I'm not saying is true or not. I'm just saying I don't believe it. But that doesn't mean I know any better. Everything else he said is happening. So it's like, you know, you can't throw I think they call it throwing the baby out with the bathwater.
Right.
Just because someone gets something wrong once in a while doesn't mean everything they say is wrong.
As long as as long as we don't consider them controlled opposition, where they're meant to take you down the wrong path and make you look stupid. When I told people about Alex Jones, I got quite a bit of heat quite quickly by smart people. It just said, why are you showing this guy yelling and screaming at me? This guy's nuts. And then they would go find one thing to discredit him and say, see, he's a known nut and you're wasting your time. And that's the end of that discussion because they're not interested in the research. And then you sort of burn your bridge right there in one shot.
Yeah. And you're saying like he is nuts, but 90% of what he says is true.
Yeah.
And people say, yeah, but disinformation is about the 10%. And you say, yeah, I understand that. I know how that works. I get disinformation techniques. However, he's not saying 90% of the unimportant stuff. He's saying the important stuff. Now, if he were my operative, if Alex Jones were my operative, if he was controlled, he is doing what I would have a controlled op do. I would have him tell all the truths that everyone knows, but make him seem nuts so that normal sheeple relate you with that crazy bastard.
Yeah,
I heard Alex Jones say that, so you must be a nut like him. So if he is controlled, that's what they use him for, is to bunch the rest of us up as with the nutheads.
Yeah, and
so
it works.
I get it. Like, cool. But I don't know. To me, I don't really know or care, but I get why people have – I get both sides of that story.
And they're not worried about us minor minority, super minority. They're only worried about the majority, the big herd, because they know that the minority like us will be trampled by the herd. So they just have to keep the herd going, and we have to keep getting out of the way of the herd because it doesn't really matter who's right or wrong. They just have to keep us in our little pen and the big herd trampling, running from one side of the field to the other. I think that's the main thing.
Yeah, and I hear a lot of people say, I'm not afraid of the government. I'm afraid of what everyone else is going to do when the government turns them against me.
For sure. Yeah. Well, they're constantly doing polls, like you said earlier, whether the polls are electronic, just by reading our Facebook messages and listening to reading our email. I don't know why anyone is still on Gmail or using all these government control
for years now.
Yeah, because people are reading them. You know, even when you send me Messenger stuff in Facebook, they're reading that too. So I don't really prefer to use it. I know it's super convenient and fast, but I still think your own email is probably safer than using their email.
Yeah.
Like Gmail.
And I mean, there's the old saying, never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups or something like that. You know, they're watching everyone. They're spying on everyone, but it is that, you know, the only reason they care about the herd, ironically, they're going to try to kill off most of the herd now, but they're going to turn them against us because there's only, I don't know how many police are in the United States, 60,000, 70, maybe 8, I don't know. There aren't enough, you know, to take on the whole population. So you need to get the people to police each other with cancel culture, you know, the mask shaming. If you notice all the TV, the politicians and the celebrities are coming out saying, there's nothing wrong with shaming. We need to start shaming these anti-vaxxers, shame them. But, you know, they're trying to turn people against each other.
And it's working. Families against each other.
Yeah, because there's not actually enough authority. As you look in Canada right now with the truckers coming in on.
Yeah.
Well, are you a trucker?
Yeah, I am.
Why aren't you driving right now?
It's Sunday. Come on, I got to take some time off.
Oh, no, I thought, aren't you, you're not in the convoy?
No, I'm a local city trucker. I'm not long haul. I don't do that.
Right, okay. What is your take on that before we sign out? Can I ask you what you think's going on there?
I think it's fantastic what they're doing. I would say the truckers there's so many different kinds of truckers, of course, big truckers, small truckers. There's company drivers, there's independent. Now, an independent broker like I am, I get paid by the load. So I'm a small business. So independent brokers are small businesses. And since small businesses are being targeted, they definitely want to wipe those guys, me guys, out. They'd rather we don't own our own equipment, which is a big part of the expense, and we become company drivers. So just as many, I don't know what the ratio is, but I'm sure it's very high. That I would say more than half of all truck drivers are company drivers. So they just get a salary and they drive the company truck. So they're not independent businesses like most of the people that are in Ottawa right now. Those are brokers. They can't really afford to take time off, which is why people should donate, at least help pay for the fuel. Because someone did the math, to go from Vancouver to Ottawa and back is $6,000 in fuel. So even if there's $6 million donated, it wouldn't take long to burn through that money, especially since diesel's at a record high right now.
So you wouldn't have to be vaxxed because it's your own truck. Is that what you mean? It's because they work for a company, or
are they even
not letting you pull up to a platform to unload your goods because you're not vaxxed? Are they doing that crap to you guys?
Well, the main thing that came in is the border crossers. So Biden said that if you're not an American, which is most of the truckers that cross, then you have to be injected. At the same time, Trudeau said, if you're coming back into Canada, if you're not injected, then you have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So that just came in the last week, that edict. That's the first time that's shown up. So that's why those guys that are protesting now, they're not going over the border. They finished their trips at Christmas time, and they didn't want to get caught on the wrong side of the border. So that's why everything has come to a head in January. So a lot of those guys aren't probably working anyway, because quite a bit of most, I would say, of the cross borders are independent business owner operator truckers, not company drivers. Not going to get an hourly guy to drive down to Texas. It's just not. This doesn't happen as much.
Because there's some weird stuff, like, you know, as I'm into a lot of gematria and very occult stuff too, and dark, you know, the black magic and Satanists. I find it very weird that Canada, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell are against the news is too much Canada right now. You know, I'm a guy who looks at things like that going, what are the odds Canada's all involved in these gematria news together? And there's a lot of people saying, and the trucks were in the Illuminati card game. I don't know. You know, like what I'm saying is whether this – and Elon Musk just came out with his new fleet of self-driving whatever electric trucks – so a lot of people are saying this is a controlled op. I'm saying if it is or isn't, the New World Order's strategy has always been to get these inept, imbecile, corrupt losers like Trudeau and Boris Johnson and Biden, and you get the worst imbeciles in charge of the government who are so blatantly bad that the people have no choice to overthrow them. Then you offer as the solution your one world socialist commie government. However, nationalism doesn't play into that. The idea is to ruin national sovereignty, not build it up.
Yes.
So even if this was a controlled op, and I don't know, I'm not there, I have no idea, I'm just sitting in Copenhagen, it didn't work because the Canadians are united, man. This backfired on them, whether they planned it or not.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with the clown leaders. They want you to not want to vote for these clowns because, A, they've all merged. We have a uniparty in Canada now. There's supposed to be three federal parties. They all have the same platform. And the only platform that counts is vaccines and vaccine passports. It doesn't even matter what any other point of view is. They all are for that. So
the passports is what this is all about.
Yeah. So they're a uniparty.
It used to be scanned, you know. If you look at your normal passport, they brought those in during the World War and said it wasn't going to last, and they never went away. You shouldn't need that
right,
either. Yeah. You shouldn't even need a passport to go from Canada to America.
That's right.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you never really did. That's the border used to be pretty much open, I think, 50 years ago. You could just drive over and just say what you're doing, and you didn't need any ID, I don't even think, at the time.
It probably still is, isn't it, in certain places?
No, I think 9/11 sort of put an end to that, as far as I can remember.
Yeah, well, there you go. See, that's, you know, here we go. That's where this really all got seeded. This does go back to that.
But I don't think the trucker thing is an op. I really don't. I think it's mainly small-town truckers, rural truckers. That's it's always been an urban rural divide in the big countries, and yeah, I think it's fantastic. If nothing else, it's very motivating. It's the worst time to do a protest. It's the coldest time of the year. It's minus 30 for the last week. It's been extra cold. So it's actually the worst time, but I think they're making a difference, and they're at least showing people that there does seem to be a critical mass that is definitely against this. Because, as you said, people go with the herd. If you can't see this, you can't see opposition, then you're not going to believe it. So now you're seeing it. I don't know if it's as big as they say, but it almost doesn't matter because the revolution will not be televised, and the mainstream media is doing their best to ignore it. That's the funny part. But it's okay because we have quite a few live streams, and I've actually posted them on my forums, fakeologist.com/forums2, which I have on the screen, and I have a category for Canada Trucking Freedom Convoy 2020. And I just put a few links to some posts where there's some places on the live stream on Facebook that I follow. A lot of these people are on Facebook, unfortunately, but that's fine. So that you are seeing evidence of people protesting and them jamming up the streets. Whether it does anything or not, I have no idea. But
well,
what else are you going to do?
Polly posted some of those too. Like, yeah, that was, for me, it's, as you said, what, it's 30 below. And,
it has
you
been,
know, what
yeah.
I saw in her videos, like the truckers are driving, there's, you know, 100 people on every overpass standing out in the freezing cold.
Yeah, that was real.
And this does wake people up because even I heard stories. I don't know if it's true that they turned off some of the, you know,
street cameras
or put bullshit footage in.
The highway cameras, yeah, I believe that. I didn't verify it, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyone paying attention, though, they say, okay, hang on. I just watched the news, and they said this is 100 extremist truckers and, you know, and nobody's watching. And then you turn on alternative news and see like a 7-mile truck brigade with hundreds of people on every overpass. That wakes people up who are paying attention. And as we said, who cares about anyone so dumb that they won't pay it, that are believe the news? Yeah. Like, you're not going to save those people anyway. They're gone.
They're gone. Anyone that doesn't have access to regular internet or doesn't make that their normal way to get media. And I would say anyone 60 and over is still watching the old TV. So they're getting the filtered version. They're getting the very super minimalistic view of this convoy, where anyone else that has the capability or the ability to find a live stream on Facebook, like we do, you're going to find it. And I can just bring up Facebook so-called live right now on my screen. You can see there's quite a jam up of trucks, and they're all over the place, and they're freezing cold running around Ottawa. Again, whether it's working or you're going to make a difference, I don't know, because I still think most Canadians just fall in line with authority. And I think
most people in general, not just Canadians, but you know, me personally, I can't speak for anyone else, but I'm not expecting a bunch of 60, 70, and 80-year-olds to get involved and lead the revolution. Like, they're retired. You've done your hard work. You know, like, sit down, Grandma. This is our business. I'm 50. What'd you say? You're 55?
Yeah.
We're still in the fight, you know, and I'm not going to make my kids have to go through this. But I don't give a shit if a bunch of old grandmas watch the television news and think, isn't Justin Trudeau just a peach of a, you know, I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's our generation who's not buying this crap. They're not. They're just not having it.
Yeah, the 50 and below. Yeah, we've seen both sides. The younger people, they're okay with the change because they're told they can't afford a place. They can't afford a house because the real estate's been super inflated. So they're okay with the change. It's us people that are squeezed in the middle that we see both sides. Whereas anyone, say, older, maybe older than 60, they're not looking for a change. All they want to do is hold on to their health and their money. They don't want to let it go. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a music teacher too, you know, and my students are they're teenagers, 15 to 18, sort of.
Right.
These kids get a bad rap. The kids I teach here in Denmark, these are not idiots, man. These kids are smart and clean.
Right.
And their generation's getting a bad a bad rap. And at least here, they're not as stupid as everyone's pegging them to be.
I would never say they're stupid. I would just say that they're probably okay with the masks in the sense that it's a generational thing where, okay, we want to have a better world and we're okay with doing something new that you guys don't like because you're an older generation and you're rebelling against it. But we see, don't forget, a lot of them grow up with the New World Order propaganda that's been infused into the education system for the last 10 years. And a lot of us aren't even aware of it. When I hear crazy things from my children that just little things that leak out that indicate that someone's been programming them in some social engineering that normally wouldn't come out unless it just got brought up by me. It just proves that they've been being taught a whole different agenda that we might not even be aware of unless we directly asked about it. Like, we're not sitting in all their classes. We only hear.
Yeah, that's true.
This stuff has started to leak out with the BLM and the anti-white rhetoric and the anti-history rhetoric and all that kind of stuff. That's only sort of bubbled up for me in the last year or two.
Yeah. Well, here in Denmark, like, the teens are a lot of the ones not wearing masks in the stores, trying to sneak into bars without Corona pass. Even,
oh,
you know,
good.
Even my students, they're not, and they don't give a shit. They're not afraid of Corona or anything. So,
that's
but I can only speak for here. I can't speak for other countries. You know, their schooling might be different. I don't know. I'm just a music teacher.
Well,
so
I would
know.
Say Denmark is definitely on a different schedule for whatever reason.
Well, we're already in the New World Order. We're already like a socialist communist. You know, these people are already controlled, and they're like Huxley said, they'll love their servitude. They don't mind a 60%.
Yeah. How many people are in Denmark?
About 5.5 million.
Yeah, you know that. What's the population of Chicago by comparison?
I think you have 4 downtown and probably 12 with the suburbs. Million. Maybe.
Yeah. So
I don't even know. I don't know anymore. Depends how many people escaped to Florida.
Yeah. So we're talking some pretty small numbers. I would say the smaller the number, it's easier to control. And it's your country's probably more homogenous. So it's easier to get people on the same page.
Well, you know, you had, I can't remember his name, Chris. There was that Canadian guy.
Chris
looks
Sky?
Like a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Chris Sky, is it?
Yeah.
You know, he nailed it when he said, like, as soon as the government has you depending on them for a check and food and energy and blah, 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 you know, they no longer work for you. You work for them.
That's right.
And in Denmark, it's already like that. 60% of the employers in the country of Denmark work for the state. That's the biggest employer in the country is the government.
That's amazing.
So, and you know, we got mass taxes. So the people here and they think they have free healthcare, free education. They keep saying it's like that movie, The Princess Bride with Enero Montoya. You know, he keeps saying, you keep saying this word. I do not think it means what you think it means. These people think they have free healthcare and free education. It's like, no, you're going to pay till you're 70 years old, 60% taxes. It's not free. It's you're going to pay it back tenfold of what it would cost, you know, to have a Ferrari and a Harvard education and cancer and a cost. You know, like the taxes you're going to pay are going to be tenfold what you're getting for it. But because you don't pay it up front, they consider it free.
And are you or your children going to be able to move up at all in the class system? Well, if you can't own real estate, if you can't own certain assets, then you can never get out of your feudal state. And maybe more people are okay with that in Denmark than they are, say, in North America, where a good chunk of the economy is independent business and you can own property and you can move up and become what we call wealthy. Not elite wealthy, but at least wealthy enough so you don't have to work like a slave till the day you die and then depend on the government at the very end because you don't have any money to live off when you can't work or you're too old to work.
Well, these people think opposite. Yeah, exactly. These people think – they don't think about that. They think about no one falls through the cracks here. They're more like a nobody falls through the cracks. Everyone's taken care of. Mm-hmm. I have less, and I'll never get into that echelon. But, you know, there won't be any people on the street unless they want to be. So that's kind of – it's a different mentality.
Yeah. So they're already flipped. They're more flipped.
But like
over
you
there.
Said, you know, you woke up with the IRS. Even in America and Canada, you say I own my own land, but who are you paying property taxes to if it's your land? You don't own that land. Otherwise, nobody pays property tax on their own land.
I realize that. But at least there's a chance that we can move up. And if they take all that away, private property, small business, then there's just no way to escape your status in life. Unless there's just no point. Then you're just biding your time till you die, in the sense that you're just going to receive a check. And if it's you're in Denmark,
absolutely.
Then you got to give half your check up or 2/3 of your check up. So it's, and the more you work, the more they take. So it just keeps leveling you off. It becomes futile. Then you get in the position, well, why should I work at all? Just keep taking
more.
Well,
we have that problem. You know, there's a lot of people who are on unemployment, and they're like, I don't want to get a job because I've already paid you
and that's
2 million kroner in tax, and I want some back now. So we got a lot of
And that's
loafers.
Happening now here with the universal basic income or whatever they call the emergency wage subsidy that's happening in the U.S. and in Canada, where they take away they shut your business, and then they start feeding you this minimum amount of money just to cover your expenses, which is the end game. They don't want you to open up your small business again, and they want you dependent, and then they'll tell you what you're going to do for that dependent wage. And
And if you're out of line, they'll cut it off. You've nailed it exactly. The whole universal income is exactly that, to control you, and then you better not step out of line. We barely give you enough to get by anyway, but we'll give you, you'll get nothing.
And then we don't need you to... Yeah, we don't need you to build that car because we don't have a car factory anymore, and everything comes from China, where we have all these people under control already. So you'll get all your stuff. So we actually don't really need you. We need your resources in the country you live on, but we can't have you sharing the wealth of those resources because they're ours. So that's why they want to get rid of the country idea, and that's why we have China basically taking our oil in their own pipes with their own people right out of our own country. This guy here, Pat King, he did an investigation into a westernmost container port where they brought in, they knew Canadians weren't for developing the resources or a pipeline. So they built a Chinese pipeline right through British Columbia. The port where that stuff is going to get loaded into is built by Irish and Chinese, no Canadians. And the port itself, I believe he was saying that Canadian vessels are not allowed in the port, only foreign vessels. This is Prince Rupert. So is that not telling you that we don't own this country at all? We're not sharing in any of the resources. None of that money is being distributed. So we don't have a country right now. We've already moved on in so many ways into this post-sovereign state, which they want to take Canada into. And that's
what all these free trade agreements have always been about, you know, Committee of 300. It's like free trade was really, you're under our service and we do you favors because you're a part of our gang. You know, that's the NAFTA and all these whatever they've renamed them all 100 times. But that's what this was all about is, you know, we don't want to be under your laws and you don't get any profits. So we're going to make you part of the club and just steal all your shit and you can't do anything about it. That's been a big part of this. That's what the debt's all about, too.
They put you in so much debt, the country in so much debt, you can't pay it. Okay, you can't pay the interest. Okay, what do you got? You got to hand over the security for the debt. that's real estate, man, and resources.
I mean, another interesting thing about the depopulation, I saw, I don't want to get his, Graham McDowell is the golfer. I think it was Dr. Graham Downing, I think, but I can't remember. But I saw these conferences in England in AV8 and AV10, he was saying already back then, he said by the year 2030, actually, or 2028, 60% of the workforce would be automated in Western countries like ours, and almost 80% of it automated already in third world or developing countries. So he was saying, what are you going to do with all the rest of us you know, if there aren't any jobs? And he was saying this back in 2018, I think it was, maybe.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, oh my God, well, I mean, and it's getting that way. You go here, if you go to the grocery store, there's 8 checkout lanes, but only one person working in one of them. And then there's a self check, you know, where there's 30. And you're just looking around going, yeah, they're actually, all the jobs are turning into computers. Obviously builders can't, you know, you can't have a robot building your house or something, but so you start thinking, yeah, well, what are they going to do with the rest of us? If it is all going to be automated by 2030,
a lot
you
of
either
it,
put us on universal basic income, right, wage, or you kill us.
Yeah.
I think you kill us and sterilize us and the rest go on the wage. And isn't that what they're doing?
Yeah, I think I heard the same similar thing. They said 80% of all jobs under $20 an hour will be gone by 2030. So the low-end jobs will be automated as much as possible.
So what do you do with the rest of us when we are, you know, we are in a slave, the earth is a slave farm. So what do you do when you don't need the livestock?
Take them
back behind the shed and
shoot
them.
How grim.
Okay. That's probably a good place to leave this conversation on a downer.
leave it on a down note. PJ, who's emailing me, he wants to know, do you have a website at all? Do you have a public email where people can contact you because they want to get – he wants to get in touch with you in your research? Is there – what's the best way to get a hold of you?
If you want to email us, we are at spacebusters@hotmail.com.
That's easy.
We have a website called 60GHz.net, 60GHz.net.
Oh, let me see that one. 60. I'll type that in.
If Ross paid the renewal.
60GHz.net. Okay.
60GHz.net. That should come up.
Okay. Buy this domain.
No, hang on. Maybe there's a dash in there. I have it on a t-shirt. So, try 60-gigahertz, that might be it.
Oh, okay.
If you're allowed to have a dash in your name.
Yeah.
I think it's a .net.
Okay. That didn't work. Okay, well,
maybe he didn't pay the renewal, or maybe I got it wrong. I'll find out. I'll put it in your show notes later.
All right.
spacebusters@hotmail.com to reach us.
Okay.
And then we have a YouTube. We're Spacebusters on YouTube, BitChute, and Odyssey.
Right. And there's
so people can reach us there and comments. Yeah.
And you're on, are you on Facebook at all? Yeah, you're on Facebook. Is that public?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, but I get so bombarded by people. We do have a Spacebusters Facebook page.
Yeah.
People, I'd rather if they write me there than my personal one, because I just get majorly bombarded and I can't get back to everyone.
Right.
There it is. That's us on Facebook. I'd rather leave my personal one out of it. I just get way too many mails and I can't keep up.
And Ross also attends to this as well?
I do this one on Facebook. He got kicked off Facebook years ago.
Oh, okay. So you don't share a login for Spacebusters?
No, we share the Hotmail email login, so we both share that one.
Okay, gotcha.
It's weird that our website's not coming up because he said he just renewed it.
Well, maybe we typed it in wrong somehow.
I don't know. It's it should be 60GHz.net.
All right. Yeah, check your shirt.
Yeah, I got it. Maybe it's in the laundry. I don't know. It might be in the laundry. But anyway,
you wear it a lot.
If you want to write to us at Hotmail. That's better. Spacebusters@hotmail.com.
All right, because he wanted to see some of your research documents. I think that's what he was getting at. So,
can we put documents in this thing? Or I don't know how to.
If you want to, well, you mean your original? Because you have a lot of documentation there.
This thing that we're talking through right now, is there like a document feeder that I can put in chats or?
The best place. Oh, you mean the links to the documents? Just the links?
No, the documents themselves, but...
Well, not really. If I'd have to host them on my own website.
Right. Well, just tell people if they want my is it these studies I showed with the virology papers?
Maybe. I don't know. It's not specific. So if they email you, then you can email it to them, I think.
Tell him to just write me and tell me what he's looking for, and I'll be happy to send him through our Hotmail. That's fine.
Yeah, that's cool. Because you don't host them on any website. That's probably.
No, I've just got them in a folder on my desktop. They're in my films and stuff, but I'm quite happy to send the documents or all links to them if he wants to download them. They're all on the net. You can get them all.
Right. It's just.
But I can send what
yeah,
I've
you've
got
done the hard work to find them. Just that's it's just as hard to know what you're looking for and where to look for it. That takes a lot of time and effort as well.
Well, I think it's important. You know, a lot of people hear Dr. Cowan and Kaufman talking about these studies, but I actually go read them. I don't even take their word for it.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see, you know, I want to see what these people are talking about, make sure they say what they say they say.
So everyone you mention in your movies, you recommend. Have any of them turned on you and you don't recommend them anymore, or are they pretty up to date that your movies show the latest people that you think are?
No, everybody. Like, I don't know if you've talked to Tracy, my friend Amanda, Dr. Amanda Vollmer.
Mm-hmm.
I've known her since, I don't know, 2010 or something. She's like, we've been talking about viruses being fake for 12 years now or something. And she's, I don't have a doctor, but she's my doctor. If I ever need medical advice, I talk to her. She's holistic. But if you could ever get her on the show, she's hardcore as hell, man. She's a great guest to have.
Oh yeah, I've got her scheduled for March 7th at 7 PM.
Yeah, that's gonna be an awesome show. She don't fuck around, man. She's hard. She's as good as it gets.
I follow her on Telegram.
Yeah,
she's everywhere. But Telegram, she's pretty up to date. So I like her a lot too. She's got some good stuff on there, and I do grab most of her virus germ theory rants and texts and reposts.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would say follow my friend Andy, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, Tom Cowan, her, read Tracy Northern stuff, Dawn Lester,
yeah.
David Parks, I think. And yeah, I would say, you know, those, Stefan Lanka, I mean, he's just debunked virology now with the three control experiments. The problem is he speaks German and his English is okay, but
yeah.
He doesn't reach anyone because it's hard to understand what he's talking about unless you already know virology lingo, you know?
Yeah, he's sort of lost in the translation. It really is the presentation as well. Andy Kaufman speaks pretty clearly. Tom Cowan is pretty clear in his anecdotes that can relate this information. To us.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Lanka to. He's in the middle of the third part now, just finished. They're going to publish. And then once I have his studies, I'm going to make a try to make a Spacebusters film, breaking his thing down to like, you know, real basic.
Yeah.
Anybody can understand this.
You need to.
But I'm waiting for him to publish. So I have to wait for that and then read that and then try to figure out how to make that movie. But when he does, I will make a movie about what he's done.
Yeah. And my only recommendation to maybe help disseminate your info a little more is, do you ever release smaller little pieces out into, say, the Twitter sphere or the Telegram sphere, where if you had a 5-minute clip of an idea?
I made a vow never ever to sign up to Twitter till the day I die.
That's a good one.
Cut to me 2 years later, I'll probably be on there going, don't.
But if you made
but our stuff's around. I see our stuff all over. People sending me like or clips of our movies will be in another movie. You know, there's people sharing our crap all over the place. I don't personally do it, but anyone is welcome. We don't care if you share our stuff or clip it up into pieces or talk over it or whatever. Just, you know, tell people that it's Spacebusters if you take our logo out. We don't care. Everyone can use whatever we do. We don't care. Like, pass it around however you want. We're cool with that.
Share, share, share. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't want, like, the glory and credit. We just ask, like, if you do use it and take our logo out. Or so just, you know, mention in your comment section where you got it from. So, you know, give us like a little proper, but
yeah,
use it however you want.
I do my best. I usually just grab the URL and put it on my FakoTube. And if I try and usually it's clear where it came from, because usually someone puts an opening slide where the material's from. But otherwise, I'll try and put a link. I try and put a link to the original Now that I have your website, when you give it to me, I can put that in there as well. So
there's a guy on BitChute. He's called Sixth Sense.
Yeah, I think I follow that guy. Yeah.
He, a lot of times what he'll do is he'll take my long movies and cut them into three parts, like 30 or 40 minutes each. Okay. And then he'll release them like a part at a time. And yeah, but if anyone, you know, if there, we also like a lot, I've seen our films translated into Italian, Spanish, like it's, they're all Polish. So if anyone wants to take any parts of our film and put them in another, just go ahead.
Do it.
You know, we don't care. Yeah. Just take our stuff and do what you want with it. Or even better, I'd rather see more people just do what we're doing. We're just two dickheads in our bedroom with IMAX making movies. So I would rather not have to make them if anyone else feels motivated. You know, if we can do it, you can too. It's very easy. So I prefer watching other people's films than having to make them all the time.
Yeah, but nobody's doing it as well as you are, so you better keep doing it. Cause,
thank you.
You definitely have a way of communicating. And Northern Tracy has the same gift where you can just try and boil it down to something that people can understand and not get bogged down in the just all the letters. And it's just this virus thing is too much for most people.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy stuff. It's funny, like you said, you know, that last film I made, Nanoman, I picked a really, as you know, a spooky-ass soundtrack for it. The song I picked was really spooky. And like, as you said, I literally was depressed after 3 weeks of mixing a movie to that song. I was like ready to slit my wrist.
Wow. You know,
this stuff gets heavy, man. You're sitting there looking at people bleeding and dying out there, and you're just like, oh my God.
Okay, and the last thing I wanted to bring up, you tease that Bill Gates you think is a FTM.
I think so. Yeah. I think he's a little Billy.
Interesting.
She, yeah,
and you,
I think so.
And you said
I
it's
think
because
a lot of them.
His nickname for himself is Trey, but he's What's the significance of that? So he should be the fourth, but they gave him the third because he's...
He is the fourth, and he calls himself the third. But as I showed him, he's the fourth Bill Gates.
Right. But why would he use the third? Because he's not really...
He's not. Yeah, they're trying to make it look like he's the third Bill Gates, and he's not. He's the fourth Bill Gates in a row.
But is that...
why would your nickname be Trey? You're not Bill Gates the third. You're the fourth, as I showed clearly up his lineage.
Does that have anything to do with that he's an FTM, or just because they're trying to leave a Bill Gates up the chain out?
Well, I think it's because he's not a Bill. That's why the fourth, because I think he was born a girl.
Right.
So he can't be Bill Gates the fourth.
Okay.
So I think it's their little inside nickname. I just showed people, hey, here's his genealogy. He's the fourth. So why are they calling him the third?
Yes, yes, like, yes.
So if he's the head of Microsoft, they can't count to four?
Right. So they give him the same label as his dad. His dad was Bill Gates the third.
His dad should have been the third. And they're calling him the second. So his dad and his grandpa have the same name. There's two in a row that aren't the second.
Oh, I see.
You understand? The great-great-grandfather and the son and Bill Gates' dad's dad, Bill Gates' grandfather and the great-grandfather have been given the same name. Then they wash the genealogy there.
Oh, I see.
So that's what I was getting at, is that something's wrong. He's supposed to be the fourth. And the only way you can't be is because you can't call your daughter Bill Gates the fourth.
Right. Oh, I see.
So I think it was changed later. That's what I think.
So they made the second and the third two.
Bill Gates.
Oh, so they were making an adjustment. Okay. Do you think these elite deliberately create these inverted people just to control them, or because they think they're special, or what is the reason? Why do they do it?
Man, that's a whole nother show. You're talking you're talking in real dark occult stuff here. We could do that another show if you want to get into that.
I do.
Way too big a can of worms to end a show.
Okay. I do like EGI. I call it elite gender inversion.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's running rampant in Hollywood, and it's elite. I mean, it's all over in their circles. you know, but that why they do it is just a whole nother story altogether. But we could do that next another time if you'd like to go dark.
No, I'd like to do that. I like that kind of stuff. Mr. E was really good at it as well, Mr. E. But Mr. E 3000. Mr. E, he had some.
I don't know that I'll write that down. Mr. E 3000.
Yeah, he's disappeared a couple times. He's gone again. But if you go to egi.fakeologist.com, he's got a lot of videos that I've saved. I actually saved all as many videos as I could of his. And
all right, yeah.
Is
this like transvestigation stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
You mean?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen a lot. There's another woman, too. She does really good ones.
Michelle X.
Right now.
That whole thing kind of
died. That's her, Michelle X, yeah.
It kind of died off a lot. It died down, I found.
I mean, people don't care is the problem, but when you start looking at how rampant it is, you do have to look a little deeper.
Right.
But why they do it is a whole nother subject.
I'm just trying to find, I just want you to hear his voice.
Yeah.
Maybe this is it.
Has he offered to withdraw?
That might not be it. This might be it. I just wanted you to hear Mr. E's voice before I go. I think I put this one on. This should be it. Melania.
All right, I got some requests for this one. Melania Trump. Let's just take a look. The underlying
I know that guy, yeah. Let's I know him.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about now?
I've seen a lot of
his.
I see
there's a very
good.
Large skull.
He goes right into the Bible and Baphomet. That's why I brought him up, because he's...
It's Janus, actually. A lot of people who study Tartaria and say there's a missing thousand years, and there's an I or a J for Jesus. I don't know if you even know about that, like on the church buildings in the old, but there's an I or a J instead of a one.
Right. I've heard of that.
And it's actually Ianis and Yanis. There's another meaning. This is what this is actually all about. It's not, you could call it Baphomet. It's the same thing, but it actually has a chemistry meaning for the body too. It's a very deep subject. It's not something to dive into now, but we can do that one day.
All right. Next time. All right. Well,
but like, I just want to say too, like you said with Alex Jones, you know, I get accused all the time. Once you get out there and your name's out there, I get told I'm a shill and I cover for the Jews and, you know, like people make all these weird stories about us and, you know, my friends. And so like when people say David Icke or Alex Jones or whatever, you don't really know who you're listening to, because I can tell you, you don't know me from Adam, but I'm legit. And I got people telling me all kinds of crazy stuff about myself, you know, and you're just like, really?
Well, you're spilling a lot of truth. We got a lot of truth out of you, as far as I can
tell.
Yeah, so.
That's what I mean. So I never take anyone's opinion. I just use my own, because people say all kinds of crazy shit about other people, and people are so paranoid, and I understand it. I understand that it's really good to be skeptical, but there's a lot of people who are just super paranoid, and these days... If someone in a truth community, if someone doesn't agree, he's not a flat earther, he's a shill. You know, you're like, just because you don't have the same belief system doesn't mean he's a shill. It just means you believe two different things. You can still be friends or listen to what they have to say and disregard what you don't believe. What, you know, there's a lot of people these days, they're like, if you don't believe exactly everything I believe, you're controlled op shill.
Yeah. Well, you got so much material out there, you're going to be a target, because you have so much stuff that's over the target, then you're going to try. They're going to go after you, because you've got a ton of stuff on your channel, and I like most of it. And I've got a lot more of your stuff to go through. Obviously, you go back deep. So, but you're right on target, I think, with the coronavirus hoax and the virus, and there aren't too many people that are on our page. I don't think out there at all. Not enough.
Well, I want to say thank you to you for having me on, and thanks to all the people in the chat and who are listening. I hope they enjoyed the show.
I think it was great. Well, it's gone well over 3 hours, which is a good sign, but my voice is expiring, so I can't go any farther, but
yeah.
Your voice is cool. Held up, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, but yeah, well, let's call it quits. And, you know, I hope people learned a thing or two or at least enjoyed it. Like, it's weird for me doing interviews. I'm just a filmmaker, so I've started doing interviews again, but it's strange always to be a guest because I don't understand why people care what I say, but okay.
Well, we wouldn't if you weren't on target. You got some good stuff. So everyone check out Space Busters wherever you can get your video, including FakoTube. I put a couple on there as well.
Awesome.
All right, awesome. Steve.
Well, thanks for having me on, Tim. That's great, man.
All right. All the best. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
You too. Love to do it again, man. Let's do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Well, Sunday's the best day for you because of the time difference, I would guess.
Yeah, exactly. Unless I get gigs again. Denmark's opening back up, and I do music gigs on Sundays.
Oh, do you?
I haven't heard those are back on, so
okay.
I'll let you know, though, anyway.
We'll figure it out. All right.
Awesome, man. Thanks.
Have a good night.
Thanks a million. It was a pleasure to meet you and finally get on this show.
Thanks to Northern Tracy.
Yeah, absolutely, man. She's awesome. Check her stuff out, too, if you haven't read it. She's awesome.
She is. All right, guys. All right, take care.
All right.
All the best.
Have a great night.
Okay, you too, Steve. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now.